We know how to kick back.
Bud Light's giving away thousands of trips to New Orleans for the Battle on the Bayou. Get in on the action at Facebook.com/Bud Light. Here we go.
Decided on June 16th that something had to be sacrificed, that the conflict between the life that she wanted and the life that was thrust upon her was simply irreconcilable.
Anthony could get the death penalty if she's convicted of killing her two-year-old daughter. Six people are still missing after a tourist boat capsized in rough weather off Mexico's Baja California Peninsula. The U.S. Coast Guard says 37 people have been rescued. Most of the people on the boat were Americans. High water and a swift current helped break up an oil spill in Montana's Yellowstone River. However, flooding is making the cleanup more difficult. There haven't been any reports so far of wildlife being hurt. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Home Depot Red, White, and Blue Savings Event, save on items throughout the store, including innovative top-brand appliances like a Maytag side-by-side refrigerator for $698. At $200 off, you get more than you'd think for a lot less than you thought. All thanks to store-wide low prices at the Red, White, and Blue Savings Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through July 6th while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Jason from Buffalo writes, I have a habit of hitting snooze and not being able to get up again. Any suggestions?
You know, if you get Geico to help with your renter's insurance, it's quite easy, really. You'll know you're protecting your stuff for as little as $12 a month, which I suspect will make you sleep much sounder. Then you'll just pop out of bed rested, ready to start your day.
What he's saying is, a renter's policy is basically insurance for your snooze button.
Plus most everything else you own.
Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Renting a vacation home can be a great way to get more for your money and be more comfortable while you're away. But to make sure, check out TripAdvisor.com.
There's actually a really neat tool where you can plug in the amount of people in your party, how long you plan to be away, what city you're going to, how often you plan to eat out, and it will tell you whether a hotel room or a vacation rental is a smarter bet for you.
Josie Miller of TripAdvisor says if you do go the vacation home route, make sure you do your research. Check other customers' reviews at online sites. See what their experiences were. Run the property, the names of the owners, or the management company through an online search. In one case, two Florida men are accused of scamming renters out of more than $50,000 in fake bookings.
Trust your gut. A lot of times you'll be corresponding with the owner of the vacation rental or somebody who manages the property, and really go with your gut and trust your instinct. If you feel like there's something not quite right, chances are that's a possibility.
I'm Elisa Parenti from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Website downtime is trouble for leading online businesses like Amazon, eBay, and Google. They figured out a way to ensure uptime, but at a cost most companies cannot afford. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Load Balancer provides continuous availability and peak performance across multiple websites while preventing network intrusions. Don't risk downtime. Visit Barracuda.com/uptime to try the Barracuda Load Balancer free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/uptime.
Class, this is Small Business Insurance 101. I am Professor Burke. Roll footage, please. This is Pat's Wings, home to the famous incinerator sauce. Lots can go wrong at small restaurants like Pat's. Slippery floors, fires, cutlery juggling incidents. With our coverage, when the unexpected happens, Pat barely breaks a sweat. Unlike those eating his fiery wings.
Sit down with a Farmers Insurance agent to see how you can protect your small business. Find your local agent at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all areas.
High gas prices continue to drain wallets.
The question? How will you pay to fuel up?
Crude oil prices remain at record levels.
Tonight's top story, America feeling pain at the pump.
With gas prices so high, how will you fill your tank? It's a question millions of people are asking themselves right now. As an alternative, Americans from all across the country are turning to public transportation as an affordable, dependable option to get them to work, school, and medical care. But Congress is proposing to cut public transportation investments, right as our country needs the most. If that happens, our infrastructure won't be ready for the increased ridership, and commuters could be left stranded. Act now at publictransportation.org to tell Congress we need more public transportation. not less. That's publictransportation.org. A message from the American Public Transportation Association.
Good morning, and welcome to a special 4th of July edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano. I'm Jeff Radford, and this is a best-of show. It's only been a few short weeks we've been on the air, but already many fine guests. And we'll kickstart this hour with Representative Duraney, who joined Tony to talk about the current affairs regarding education cuts in the budget.
Welcome, everybody, to hour two of First Shift on this Friday program. And really, you know, I got to tell you, and I haven't thanked you lately for allowing me to come into your lives on a daily basis. And what a blessing this has been. We end 8 weeks today since I returned to the airwaves, and I've never felt more blessed and empowered and feel so good about what we're doing here in First Shift. And I just want to thank all of you for your support this early on in the show. It certainly has taken off. And Jeff, I got to ask you, because I didn't know you at all before we started the show, and I know you were a little leery, as I would have been in your shoes. You know, who is this guy? What are we going to do? But you got to admit, you know, 8 weeks in, and I think we've really found a niche, and whatever it is we thought this would be has turned out to be pretty damn good.
All based on the fact that we both like blueberry bagels from Panera, I think, is where it's rooted in.
Yeah, I'm not a blueberry bagel guy.
Oh, no, I can't believe you just said that.
I'm really going to disappoint you. You know what my favorite bagel is?
What is it?
Plain.
Plain bagel?
I like a plain bagel with tons of cream cheese.
Oh, I see. I'm not a cream cheese guy.
Well, so we don't have that in common.
But the rest of the show is going well.
Yeah, bagels beside, you know, bagels aside, we're doing really well. I also want to thank listener Alan, who continues to write me two or three times a week. And Alan, I appreciate you listening, and I'm glad that you enjoy what we bring to you. Getting an interesting response to the Rand Paul audio that we played as well, Jeff. So hopefully we'll have a little bit of open line time later to get to some of that. But let me turn to my next guest here. He comes to me actually through one of his constituents who asked if I would reach out to him, and he reached out to me first. So that worked out really well. When I think of representative, this next guest is the person that would come to mind. Let me just give you a little bit of his background. He was a former member of the Dearborn City Council from 2007 to 2010. He operated his own small business, so understands all of the confines of that. He also was a realtor for 20 years, was a realtor broker for 16 of those, and in the Dearborn area. And he was named Dearborn's Outstanding Rotarian of the Year in 2009, which means he understands that in order to survive and to thrive in your own community, you have to give something back. When I think of representative, this is what I think of. Joining me now from Dearborn is Representative George Duraney, and I want to thank you so much, Representative, for being with us on First Shift this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Tony, and thank you for that great introduction. And I must say, before we go any further, I am a blueberry bagel guy.
Well, there you go, Jeffrey.
Yes.
There you go. Again, I want to thank you. Our mutual friend, Pat Stagg, asked me if I would reach out to you, and you were nice enough to reach out to us first. So we're making Patrick, who is listening this morning, Representative, he's emailed me. He's out there. He's listening. He's excited to have you on the show today, as am I. And we have a lot to talk about, but you know, I want to ask you what I've been asking a lot of first-term reps. I would imagine that when you envisioned becoming a state rep and went through that process, and I know you knocked on a lot of doors and you got your literature out there and you got the vote, that this wasn't what you envisioned the first 6 months in office.
Well, that's certainly true, Tony. My first 6 months in the state capitol certainly had been eye-opening, to say the least. I've learned firsthand how partisanship can derail even the best intentions, and obviously serving in the minority has produced a number of unique challenges. But now we're pushing on. The primary challenge now is to get good legislation to the desk of the governor and get it signed, you know, no matter whose name is on it.
Well, yeah, and as we look at that, you know, one of the things, you live in a very diverse community, and if there's ever a community and throughout the state of Michigan that understands the challenges of different cultures, different issues, different ideologies. It's certainly Dearborn. It is a city that has learned to grow as its population has become much more diverse. So you were kind of uniquely qualified to serve in this capacity as a representative, bringing, obviously, I think, a knowledge and an understanding that a lot of reps, you know, never get a chance to experience. So they should actually be turning to you, Rep. Durrani, and saying, hey, listen, you know, you're the guy that's actually done this. How can we do it better? I'm kind of curious. Are they turning to you? Are your Republican colleagues asking for your advice?
My Republican colleagues?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, that kind of answered that question, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's not happening. I must say, though, I've had a great relationship with the new friends that I've made on the Democratic side. What a great group of people. I think we're all there for one reason, and that's for the people. And that's been very, very enlightening to me and very, very a good experience for me in that regard. I mean, we're there for one reason, and I tell people this. I said, we're not here for us. We're here for the people who need us. And that's been my goal, to help the people that need the most help.
Well, with that said, let me talk about the budget first of all, then we'll come back and talk a little bit about education. We were told under this new tax plan that we have, where corporations and businesses were given a $1.8 billion tax cut, that this would create all kinds of dynamic jobs. And we were actually told that, you know, people would actually be lining up to open businesses here.
Right.
I'm not seeing that happening, and certainly you're going to be much closer to the source than I am. Is there a bunch of announcements coming that we're not aware of?
Well, the interesting thing, Tony, is that when the governor rolled out the budget back on February 17th, one of the first questions we asked, actually we asked the lieutenant governor, you know, the governor and yourself, you ran on the premise that you were going to create jobs. How many jobs is this budget going to create? And even the lieutenant governor said, geez, I don't know. We don't know. We're not sure. You know, we didn't calculate that. And we just shook our heads and said, unbelievable. This is the budget you're rolling out, and you yourself cannot even say that it's going to guarantee at least one job. Simply amazing.
Well, it is simply amazing. And then we turn to something that I know is near and dear to your heart, and that's education. Again, you're a community that's growing. You're having to look at expanding schools in the Dearborn area. You know, you look at the challenge of population growth. And then to turn around and see what you understand as being the very foundation of that community education, you see that budget being cut. I can't imagine that sets too well with you.
That very, very frustrating for me and the folks in Dearborn. I ran under the premise of education first, and we need to have our students prepared for the 21st century. And certainly slashing the educational budget just works exactly against that premise. No, when I got there for the, when they gave us our orientation back in November, even before we were sworn into office, the orientations that were given to us at Michigan State and other locations said that don't worry about the school budget, guys, because there's, for the first time in the longest time, we have a surplus in the school budget of roughly $200 per student. But when we were sworn in January, the first thing the governor said was, well, we have to cut back on education because we really don't have any money there, which is exactly the wrong thing to say, since we've already been told that there actually is a surplus there. Of course, that money was taken for big business and corporations and CEOs and taken away from our children in the school budget.
Well, and Jeff, if you will, and we'll get to this after, I want to play a little sound we have from the governor talking about the school funding, and we're going to take a break here in just a couple minutes, but when we come back from that, I just want to play this audio clip, Representative Durrani, and just let you comment on it. I will remind everybody, my guest is Representative George Durrani. He, of course, represents the city of Dearborn, a wonderful place to live. I'm a Dearborn Heights guy, but certainly spend a lot of time in in Dearborn. And, of course, you know, my personal bias, very fond of that entire area, of course. Let's talk very quickly before we get to the break, and then we'll come back and talk about it a little further. House Bill 4744, which on the surface may sound odd to people until you get into some of the details.
Okay.
And then, of course, that House Bill 4744 would allow community colleges such as Henry Ford Community College, which is in the heart of your district, to apply for a liquor license. So people are going, okay, what the hell does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Well, nothing, absolutely, actually, but it is important for a very good reason.
Would you like me to explain exactly
what it is? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the bill will allow students that are in the culinary arts program to be able now to learn how to cook with beer and wine and spirits and preparing marinades or other types of things that are necessary to be a well-rounded cook or chef when you graduate. Some other community colleges have those programs in set already, but colleges such as Henry Ford Community College and others do not have that ability. And we're shortchanging our students if when they leave the community colleges, if they don't have a full education regarding culinary arts. And so it's very, very important that they learn how to do that. At the same time, we're also helping the Michigan economy because we're also introducing them to the 75 wineries and the 60 microbreweries that are in the state. So we're encouraging the students to use those beers and those wines that come from our own state. And,
Representative George Rainey, hold that thought. We're going to get to that audio from the governor, talk more about House Bill 4744, and your calls if you'd like to, 888-552-3595. A quick break here. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, The Best Of, The First Shift with Tony Trupiano Show right here on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Kids don't come with instruction manuals. I'm Stacy Bachman, and I'd like to invite you to join my husband, Steve, and I here on 1310 WDTW Saturdays at 9 a.m., where on a weekly basis we'll bring you interviews with national and international experts, along with the best tips and techniques and newest information to help you and your child overcome the challenges and hurdles that you're facing so they can reach their highest potential. It's not an instruction manual, just parents helping parents. The My Great Kid Radio Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on 1310 WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blending. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. To participate in McDonald's.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Venero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
Come on in.
Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, The Best Of, The First Shift with Tony Trupiano Show right here on 1310 WDTW.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, Tony Trupiano back with you. My guest this hour is State Representative George Durrani. We have been talking about a House bill he introduced, 4744, that would allow the use or would allow institutions, colleges, community colleges, to apply for liquor license, which gives them then an opportunity to truly teach the culinary students, by the way, a field that is growing at a record numbers. And so this is an important part of that educational process. And again, Representative Durrani, it's one of those things on the surface, you kind of go, huh, until you explain it a little bit, and then it makes, of
right.
course.
And it's something also that we've been fighting for. Well, our legislators have been fighting for this for a number of years. They tell me it's been 8 years, and they still haven't been able to get that particular bill passed. So I'm very, very happy that I was able to rework it a little bit to make everyone happy. And we got it passed at a regulatory reform committee a couple days ago on a 14-1 vote. So it's going to be sent to the House. Hopefully on Tuesday, and we'll get it passed in the House next week.
Yeah, I'm not seeing much of an issue to get in the way of that. I wanted to play that audio clip from Governor Snyder. He was sitting down with Stephen Clark from WXYZ Channel 7. This is what he had to say, Representative Durrani. Go
but
ahead.
As a practical matter, too much of our educational system has been about spending money, not educating the kids. We've got great teachers, great people in the system, but we have a broken system. So that's why we did the special message on education, to say it's all about the kids, not about the money. And let's figure out how to get more resources in the classroom and deliver real student growth.
All right, now I don't know what he means about this special message. I'm assuming that is cutting the money. But
yeah.
Is there any part of that quote that we just played for you that makes sense in our current reality with regard to education?
Well, he's talking about the system being broken, but he's sounding like a broken record because we've heard the same rhetoric that the system's broken, the system's broken, it's all about the kids, it's all about the kids, from President George Bush and his son, George W. Bush. This is the same rhetoric that's been talked by the Republican Party for the last 20, 25 years, in fact, and it's just rhetoric is what it is. I don't understand how you can cut money from the state education fund and expect our students to be educated better. It's like telling me, George, you're not doing a good job as a father feeding your children, so we're going to cut your pay in half. Now, how's that going to make me a better father, more able to feed my children by cutting my pay in half?
Who am I to argue with that? We're going to go to the phones again. If you'd like to join us, feel free. 888-552-3595. The email address, always, tony@thetonyshow.org. We welcome Ann and Dearborn to the show. Ann, welcome. You're on the air with Representative George Durrani.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Tony. Nice to hear from both of you.
It's been a while, but it's nice to hear that you're both doing well.
Well, thank you. Did you have a question or comment for Representative Durrani?
Yeah, George. George, thanks for being there. First, I want to tell you that we miss you in Dearborn and think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
My question in regards to the logistics of the proposal is most of the students are going to be, you know, between the ages of 18 and 21, especially those going to Henry Ford. My son actually goes to Henry Ford. Is there going to be, you know, I know if you go to a store to even buy alcohol that you have to have a cashier ring you up if they're not 21. Is there going to be, you know, are kids that aren't 21, are they going to be able to handle the alcohol during the course, or how does that work?
No, that's a good question, Ann. Thanks for your call. Go ahead, Representative.
Yeah, well, based on this law, there will be, obviously, the students won't be there by themselves when they're learning how to cook with these beer and wine and spirits. The chef in charge or the student instructor will be the ones that will be with them, and so that's going to take care of that. This works with the Schoolcraft Community College. I think Oakland Community College and some other universities that have the culinary arts program. As long as there's an instructor, a chef there instructing them on how to use it, then that passes the muster for the Liquor Control Board.
All right, that was a great question and certainly a very good answer. Very quickly, I want to kind of tie this all together before we let you go today. We look at the cuts in funding to education. We look at the demand, or we look at the demands that we have on trying to create jobs, and we, you know, we'll go with, and again, I agree that government doesn't create jobs, but it certainly creates the environment that
right.
creates jobs. But if we're cutting education funding and we're laying off teachers left and right, many of them lost their jobs as of the end of last week when school got out in most places around the state. How is that going to attract real business, real dynamic middle wage or middle income jobs to the state of Michigan if we're not educating and preparing our students to meet that challenge?
Well, very good point, Tony. It's interesting. I come from an economics background. I have a degree in economics from U of M. And one of the first things that businesses look for when they want to relocate or expand a current business is the educated workforce. That's number one. The governor seems to think that they look at what our tax rate is. A tax rate and what you pay in taxes as far as the corporation is concerned is it's a cost of doing business. It's one cost of doing business. And it's always factored into where you're going to locate a business. But the number one thing that an employer looks for is an educated workforce. And the governor does not see it that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately indeed. So let's take a look at the reality. We're only 6 months into the next election cycle, and so we have a lot of legislation that will be moved in that period of time. Are you optimistic at all that the Republicans will come to their senses a little bit and start to work with the Democrats and do things that actually represent what we all want, not just what the top 5% wants?
Well, you know what, I'm an optimistic person to begin with, so I'm going to stay optimistic, and I'm going to be resolved in that fact that we're going to do everything that we can as a Democratic Party to push the agenda that's best for the people of Michigan. I think we all want what's best for the state, but we see it, I think, more clearly as Democrats, and it's all about the people. It's not about corporations. It's not about CEOs. It's about the working class people. It's about the people that care about the state, the middle class people, the ones that are going to be here for the long run. So I'm optimistic that our democratic ideals and principles will finally get through.
Well, I love your optimism. I wish I could share it, and maybe I'll learn to. But Representative George Durrani, we need people like you to obviously lead the way. Listen, I would save you a blueberry bagel, but by the time you got it, it'd be hard as a rock. So why don't we meet for coffee one morning in your area, and we'll have a bagel and a cup of coffee and chat further.
Sounds great, Tony.
All right, Representative George Durrani again. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
And you bet. A quick break here, and we come back. Autumn Smith will join us. The recall of Jace Bolter. Who is he, and why should we care, and why are they harassing her? We'll answer all that stuff on the other side. Stay with us. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, the best of the First Shift with Tony Truppiano show right here on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, I'm David Ricklick, President of Investment Solutions, and I welcome you to Your Money Matters, a live and interactive radio show every Sunday morning at 8:30 on 1310 WDTW. Are you worried your financial portfolio is not well diversified? Are you concerned your assets are not properly allocated given the uncertain economic conditions? It is these and other topics that Your Money Matters with Dave and Aaron will discuss. Tune in to learn more with Your Money Matters every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m.
So Dave and I are here to help and give the latest trends and discuss the economic situation that affects you. See how our family can help your family and listen every Sunday morning at 8:30 live on 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk Station.
The information presented is designed to provide general information on the subjects covered. Please note that Investment Solutions and their representatives do not give legal or tax advice. Securities offered through Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment Solutions is independent of QCC.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
Welcome back to this special 4th of July edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Hoping you and yours are enjoying this holiday weekend so far, staying safe and celebrating what makes this such a great country. It's the people, of course. Servicemen and women fighting here and abroad. Thank you for all that you've done, truly. But also to the people who care about people. Rabbi Steve Guteau is one of those people, and he joined Tony last week to talk about fighting poverty.
I believe it was in Sunday's paper I read about a joint conference between the African American and the Jewish community leaders here in the Detroit metropolitan area, which runs through the day, ran through the day yesterday, is my understanding, and really an exceptional conference. to deal with a variety of issues, including poverty in the city of Detroit. And although I believe this is not their first meeting, it was new to me, and I found this so fascinating that I wanted to make sure that we explored it further on, here on First Shift. So joining me now is Rabbi Steve Gutto. Rabbi Gutto has been intensely involved in the conference this week and is here to just kind of break things down for us and tell us all about it. So, Rabbi, I want to welcome you to First Shift. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you, Tony, very much for having us on and giving me a chance to talk about the work we're doing, because I think it's important work, and I think if it's multiplied all over the country, and particularly here, it can make a difference.
No, let's talk about what it is. The conference, again, I think it's an extraordinary opportunity. We often don't hear about a dialogue between the African-American communities and the Jewish communities. And I guess I don't quite know why we have never, or we don't hear about it, and maybe it's happening more often than I realize. But tell me how this came to be. What was the inception of this particular conference?
The organization that I run, it's called the Jewish Council for Public Affairs, about 4 years ago made the decision. It's an umbrella group, actually, that covers 125 Jewish organizations that are local, including one in Detroit, around America. It's also made up of 14 national organizations, including the four religious movements. And we made a decision that there was no focus on poverty. That was number one. That people love to talk about the middle class, and that's important, and they love to talk about, you know, the MAGNA issue, some of which you were talking about in the newscast that just preceded this, the advertisement of the, you know, talking about collective bargaining, which we support, and other things like that, but not about what's going on with the poor in America. So in an effort to deal with that, we started a fairly massive program. We have a major interfaith component in October. We have we had like 40 seders. That's a Jewish Passover ceremony there were anti-hunger seders that happened this last year, and it's happened for 4 years. One of the key parts of this effort was that we decided that we needed to reinvigorate what had once been a great alliance to combat issues of social justice in America, and that was the Black Jewish Alliance, which had fallen into a state of apathy and disrepair. So about 4 years ago, we began holding what we would call a mission to somewhere where poverty was a significant issue. We've had two to New Orleans, one to Birmingham and Montgomery, and this year we decided to come to Detroit, because not only does your city face some significant problems, which I don't have to tell you about as far as poverty, but you're doing some significant things, some really amazing things, and we wanted we bring a Jewish and a Black leader from this year at six different communities around America, from the West Coast to the East Coast, and they come together, they form a partnership right here. We spent, you know, we finished today, and we started Monday, and what we do is really investigate the things that are going on in your town, both those that are not so good, like the poverty, and also the things you're doing to repair it, and hopefully. Like today will be our last day, and we'll have reflections with each other, with each leader to leader, the leaders in San Jose, and the leaders in Denver, the leaders in Indianapolis and Jacksonville, Providence, Nashville, other communities. We'll sit and spend time today to see when they go home, when they go back, which they'll go this afternoon, what can they do in Nashville that they've learned here to make a difference? Or what can they do together to help bring Blacks and Jews together? And third, and we talked about this last night, what can they do in their own communities, working with their own Congress members, to help Detroit? When some of the bills as far as mass transportation come up, how can the Detroit Jewish and Black leadership let us know so that we can help them, because it's the same Congress member in Tennessee that's going to vote on the same bill? So those are the three main purposes. One is to reinvigorate a relationship. Two is to work on poverty in people's home community. And three is to see what we can do, if we can, to help the city in which we're visiting.
Well, you know, and again, it's an extraordinary dialogue. In and of itself, Rabbi, the dialogue is extraordinary, but that you want to move people to action is, of course, the solution component that I find most fascinating. And again, you know, that you recognize up front that, you know, this is a relationship that had, for whatever reason, had been harmed along the way, and that that it's an opportunity to help rebuild and to heal that fissure. And as we kind of look at what's happening, you know, today is that day of reflection. You know, do you feel that these two communities, the Jewish community and the Black community, have maybe a healthier understanding and appreciation moving forward?
Well, if you had been in the session last evening, you would have felt the optimism and the enthusiasm, although tempered by a sense of reality, among the partners from the different communities. I mean, you know, with real commitments and real the look in their eyes. I mean, I always speak as a rabbi of a sense that they had a mission to accomplish when they went back home, and an appreciation. And I don't want to let this get lost of your community, because you all are doing some remarkable things. I mean, it's a city that often feels pessimistic about itself. I know, because I've talked to people, but. There we were, looking all these young people doing rather remarkable entrepreneurial social justice projects all over this city, and it was pretty exciting to watch. So yes, I do feel, and I also feel there was a sense of loss, because I mean, our communities in the 50s and 60s, well, albeit the relationship was never the perfect one some people think it was or say it was a good one. And, you know, we still are our two communities, Blacks and Jews, that care deeply about poverty and care deeply about social justice and vote that way. But as far as working together, it's not been happening. And I always think when you coalesce with another powerful community and you decide you're going to do something good, you do something good. And I mean, that's the key. You have to make that decision. You have to have a sense of mission and God within you. And then you walk forward and you do something. So that's hopefully what people will walk back with. And we're going to spend quite a number of hours today. Some of them are going to be just one-on-one with the partner from each town talking about what they can do. And then they're going to come back to the whole. And this thing should end about noon today and say, what are they going to do in San Jose? Or what are they going to do in Jacksonville? What are they going to do in Providence? It's going to be that kind of day where hopefully it will lead to something.
Well, and unfortunately, this is something I absolutely would have enjoyed. And perhaps next year, no matter where it's at, maybe I can attend. I think that this is just a fascinating bridge building. And again, this is beyond just an exercise, and it's not just lip service. And, you know, and Rabbi, I do want to let this audience know, it's not like you folks sat in a room somewhere. You toured the city of Detroit. You got out of these communities. You talked to the people that are affected by poverty and by societal situations. This was not just a listening tour, if you will.
It wasn't. In fact, yesterday we were in an urban garden. It's called Summer in the City, where there's dozens and dozens of these within Detroit, where people are planting gardens, where there's fruit and all kinds of vegetables produced. African Americans and Jews, and actually there were a lot of people from India and Pakistan, planting and hoeing, and we got down and we got dirty and did that ourselves for 2 or 3 hours, and then had a reflection with the young people doing it, and that was a stunning experience. For some of the people hadn't said they were not all so young. Some of them said they hadn't gotten down and done physical labor in ages, but they enjoyed it. But we went to actually see place after place in Detroit that where remarkable work is being done. We went to Focus Hope. We went to Tech Town. We went to Paquette Square, where y'all are doing this amazing work with homeless veterans. We went to the Capuchin, I guess is the name of it.
Capuchin. Yeah, the Capuchin.
It was really the Heidelberg Project. Your city is full of exciting young people, and I just think y'all should feel a sense of support and pride for them, because they're not, you know, they're not taking no for an answer.
Now, again, let me remind everybody, my guest is Rabbi Steve Gutto. He is with the Jewish Council for Public Affairs. By the way, their website is thejcpa.org, and we'll make sure that Todd gets that up on the Facebook page. That's thejcpa.org.
Let me correct you. It's actually the website is actually jewishpublicaffairs.org.
Oh, okay.
Jewish. But can I say one more thing before we go?
Absolutely.
We're in honor of our commitment to this city. We're coming back here next May. We have a major annual conference every year. Every other year it's in Washington, and then we go somewhere else each year. And we're coming to Detroit. And we're hoping to have, on the Tuesday of the conference, I think it's May 5th or 6th or 7th, I don't have the dates right in my head, but we hope to do a major social service project out in the streets, somewhere, with the black community, with Muslims and Christians and Jews. I mean, we will be Jewish leaders from everywhere in America. And we want to make a statement, not only to Detroit, that we care about you, and not only that the Jewish community cares, but that we're part of a bigger world that cares about places that really have work to do and are willing to do it. So I'm hoping for a major project here, and I'm hoping a lot of your listeners will want to be a part of what we're doing next year and help us.
Rabbi, can you stay with us through the break? I'd like to keep you a little bit longer.
I can stay a little bit. Yeah,
very
sure.
Good. Just a couple minutes after the break. Thank you. Rabbi Steve Gutto is my guest. Again, JewishPublicAffairs.org. Let's get to the break. We'll come back and clean this up a little bit on the other side. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is exciting stuff, folks. We'll be back on First Shift right after this.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, The Best Of, The First Shift with Tony Truppiano Show right here on 1310 WDTW.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Truppiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 on 1310 WDTW.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Kids don't come with instruction manuals. I'm Stacy Bachman, and I'd like to invite you to join my husband, Steve, and I here on 1310 WDTW Saturdays at 9 a.m., where on a weekly basis we'll bring you interviews with national and international experts, along with the best tips, hand techniques, and newest information to help you and your child overcome the challenges and hurdles that you're facing so they can reach their highest potential. It's not an instruction manual, just parents helping parents. The My Great Kid Radio Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on 1310 WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blended. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. And participate in McDonald's.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, The Best Of, The First Shift with Tony Truppiano Show right here on 1310 WDTW.
And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
You know, the recent census data shows us that 36% of the residents living in poverty in the city of Detroit, 22% statewide. And as we are learning this morning from the president, of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs, Rabbi Steve Gutto. Some important things happened this week and will continue to happen as they've made a commitment to come back here in May. The rabbi has agreed to stay with us, and we do appreciate that. Again, to find out more about them online, go to jewishpublicaffairs.org, jewishpublicaffairs.org. You know, Rabbi, let me just offer this show as an opportunity for you. If there's anything that we can do to help make this more of a reality, to bring this all to fruition, just know that we'd like to partner with you on that.
Tony, do not make an offer that you don't think we'll accept, because I promise you that meant a lot to me and to the effort we're going to make in the next few months. So thank you.
Well, I never make an offer I don't plan to back up. And so absolutely, we want to see this happen. You know, I think, you know, during the break, going back and rereading the initial article that kind of caught my attention, what I found to be an exceptional about this is that it delves into something that I believe is critical, this idea that we are all one people. You know, when it comes to politics, Rabbi, you know, we are the people. And that's been the big slogan, especially amongst progressives and Democrats. But we are the people, and it really has nothing to do with the color of our skin or the base of our religion. It really is about the human condition, after all, is it not?
I would go with you as far as what you said about the color of our skin. I think one of the problems we face in America is that we don't seem to remember, many of us, what the base of our religion is. Because the base of our religion isn't religions of division. It's not we're better than you. It's not this religion that says the only issues that count in the world for religious people are stopping abortion and opposing gay rights. It's really, if you look at it, it's about the equality of human beings in their spirit. It's about the fact we're made in God's image. And one of the things we do a lot of, particularly in our October Fighting Poverty with Faith, where we partner with the National Council of Churches and Catholic Charities and 50-some other organizations that work with us, Muslim, Hindu, Jewish, and Christian, to really try to focus on poverty. And what we say is, you know, look through our scriptures, look through our Quran. Poverty is one of the key issues brought up, but you would never know it if you listen to some of the religious people that talk. So I want to say, I think religion can be a basis for those of us that are religious people. I'm not saying if you're not, it doesn't matter to me. But if you are, I just want to say it's one of the things we work really hard at, is to convince people that our traditions have taught us that you got to go feed the hungry, and you got to go heal the sick, and you got to deal with people that don't have enough to wear and enough in a way to live, and you got to deal with God's earth, because God gave us this place and we're supposed to take care of it. So I wanted to amend what you said about religion. No. I think it can be a very important motivator.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's fine. Well, again, I thank you for giving us a little extra time. I want to, again, encourage people to get active. May is not that far off, folks. So, you know, really pay attention to what's going on, and you'll see that amazing things are happening all around you. And so we wanted to make sure that we did give a little extra attention to what I think is an extraordinary conference that I only wish I would have known about much earlier on. Again, jewishpublicaffairs.org is the website that you want to go to. And we'll look forward, Rabbi, to seeing you again in May. Thank you again for your faith in the city and in our people and our neighbors.
Thank you, Tony.
All right.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
All right, take care. Be good.
Rabbi Steve Gutto, once again. I mean, really, Jeff, you stop and think about it. All of the problems we have, and we certainly do have a lot of problems, and I don't think that, well, you know, the Southeast Michigan is any more challenged than any other metropolitan area throughout the country. Certainly, anybody that has a large minority population is going to be more stressed than somebody that, let's say, in Birmingham, Michigan. Not that I'm picking on Birmingham, but I think you understand my bigger point here. When we look at what we need to do, when 36% of your residents are living in poverty, and that is not being addressed at the political level, then somebody needs to step up and figure out a way to begin to solve at least a part of that problem. And so we are fortunate that these two communities reached out to each other, found a way, and are building a bridge. And I just think this is a really positive story.
And I think it's all about showing that you care. You know, I mean, that's one thing when we had Jalen Rose on talking about, you know, giving to the schools in Detroit and to showing these kids that you want to invest in them and that you care about them. Because I think the school system basically showed kids, hey, we want you to get educated, but we're not that invested in it. And then in this situation, you have a whole conference around the country, people coming to Detroit, and he was talking about all the stuff that he discovered, the soup kitchen and all the good people here and everything that he kept mentioning about the city of Detroit. It's showing that you care, and that's where it starts.
Well, you know, there is so much that we do offer in Southeast Michigan that we sometimes forget about the Capuchin Soup Kitchen and Focus Hope and many others, the Heidelberg Project and many others that, you know, one of the things that I kind of loved about the television show, the now dead television show Detroit 187, is that the producers of that show really did find some of the city's gems and showcase them on that program to a national audience. Unfortunately, that is an experiment that only lasted 1 year. It will not be back. It will not be back in reruns. It's just that it's now gone. But that doesn't negate the positives that it did. There are so many positive things going on here. And if we would begin to think more like communities should think, to be as inclusive as we can be, to reach out and to help where we can help. And again, I understand people's limitations, Jeff. I really do. If you can't do something, I get that. And I certainly don't hold that against anybody. I've said when we were talking about the recall, and this is kind of my philosophy on a lot of things, if you're going to commit to doing something, let's say you want to commit to helping solve the poverty issue in the city, commit to what you know you can do. That's all I'm saying. Just commit to what you know you can do. And don't overcommit to something, because that's where we end up getting in trouble, where we think we're going to have more help than we actually get. And so if you're just honest about that and you engage in that community, whatever that community needs, you begin to solve problems. That's pretty darn exciting. I think this is an extraordinary effort, Jeff, and I'm so glad that we had an opportunity to talk to the rabbi today.
Oh, and he was a great speaker too. Very, very impassioned. I mean, that's what makes a good speaker. And the things he had to say, included everyone. It's not he wasn't on a soapbox, you know, saying how great of a job that his beliefs are or anything like that. I mean, it was very inclusive to a whole bunch of groups of people.
Well, and it has to be. I mean, doesn't it? In order to solve any problems, Jeff, don't we have to include everybody? It can't just be one segment of society that solves a problem. You know, the African-American question, if that's what it is, you know, those in poverty of that 36%, how many of those are minorities? I would bet you the lion's share are. It's not their problem. It's our problem. Another hour to go, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here. But then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio.
Top story, there was some drama at a UN war crimes tribunal for Bosnian Serb genocide suspect Ratko Mladic in The Hague. CNN's Dan Rivers says Mladic was kicked out of court.
Ratko Mladic refused to really cooperate with Judge Ori at all, constantly interrupting him. First of all, asking if he could put his hat on and complaining about his health. And then, as Judge Ori mentioned several times, he was gesturing to the public gallery. And Judge Ori was constantly trying to get him to look at him as he addressed him. And Mladic just didn't want to play ball at all.
The Casey Anthony murder trial could go to the jury today. Prosecutor Jeff Ashton told jurors in his closing argument it's an open and shut case.
Casey Anthony is guilty of murder in the first degree.
But defense attorney Jose Baez says the prosecution's case is full of holes.
They want you to fill in the gaps with your anger and your emotion. That's what they want.
Casey Anthony could get the death penalty if she's found guilty of murdering her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee. A Memphis police officer was killed responding to a domestic incident at a downtown hotel. A second person was also shot and killed. The suspect is in jail. About 200 people are trying to clean up an oil spill that dumped hundreds of barrels of crude into Montana's Yellowstone River. Flooding is not helping the cleanup efforts. Actor Jimmy Smits will host this year's July 4th celebration at the U.S. Capitol that will air on PBS. Smits says he and his family are looking forward to watching some of the performers.
Matthew Morrison from Glee. My kids are just over the roof that he's going to be there. And I'm going to be digging on Little Richard. He'll be rocking and rolling also.
Fireworks will be set off against the backdrop of Washington's monuments. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, what are you?
I'm a senior master technician.
You've been with Ford now for how long?
24 years, thankfully.
Jim, a lot of people hear about the works and they figure it's an oil change. It is an oil change, right?
No, Mike, it's not just an oil change.
Please proceed.
Well, it includes a brake inspection, belt and hoses check, checking your cabin filter, your air filter, tire rotation, battery test, top off all the fluids, and a multi-point inspection with a detailed report card.
All right, it certainly seems comprehensive, this works thing. What doesn't it include?
Well, that list is probably very short.
Glove compartment. You check that?
We try to stay out of your glove box.
What about my antenna?
Whatever you need, we've got it covered. The Works Fuel Saver Package is an excellent value for routine maintenance. Stop by your local Ford dealer today and get it all for just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
If we were to sum up, you'd say the Works Fuel Saver Package includes pretty much everything for one low price.
It'll cover everything that your car needs for a scheduled maintenance service.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
The fireworks industry still has some spark, despite the economy.
Oddly, with a struggling economy, it's benefited the firework industry.
Why? Julie Heckman, who runs the American Pyrotechnics Association, says nearly all states now allow fireworks sales.
We've seen a trend in the relaxation of the consumer fireworks laws, because they are primarily interested in the tax revenue.
Heckman also says corporate or other private donors have stepped up to help communities put on fireworks shows, but she says it is getting much more expensive for fireworks companies to put on those shows.
During the past 2 years, the cost of producing fireworks and transporting them to the United States has increased by about 30%.
As a result, Heckman says the companies are modifying their displays, and fireworks stands have boosted prices about 10%. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Website downtime is trouble for leading online businesses like Amazon, eBay, and Google. They figured out a way to ensure uptime, but at a cost most companies cannot afford. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Load Balancer provides continuous availability and peak performance across multiple websites while preventing network intrusions. Don't risk downtime. Visit Barracuda.com/uptime to try the Barracuda Load Balancer free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/uptime.
Class, this is Small Business Insurance 101. I am Professor Burke. Roll footage, please. This is Pat's Wings, home to the famous incinerator sauce. Lots can go wrong at small restaurants like Pat's. Slippery floors, fires, cutlery juggling incidents. With our coverage, when the unexpected happens, Pat barely breaks a sweat. Unlike those eating his fiery wings.
Sit down with a Farmers Insurance agent to see how you can protect your small business. Find your local agent at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all areas.
Now
Now at the Home Depot Red, White, and Blue Savings Event, save on items throughout the store, including innovative top-brand appliances like a Maytag side-by-side refrigerator for $698. At $200 off, you get more than you'd think for a lot less than you thought. All thanks to store-wide low prices at the Red, White, and Blue Savings Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through July 6th while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Jason from Buffalo writes, I have a habit of hitting snooze and not being able to get up again. Any suggestions?
You know, if you get Geico to help with your renter's insurance, it's quite easy, really. You'll know you're protecting your stuff for as little as $12 a month, which I suspect will make you sleep much sounder. Then you'll just pop out of bed rested, ready to start your day.
What he's saying is, a renter's policy is basically insurance for your snooze button.
Plus most everything else you own.
Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
This is the best of First Shift with Tony Trubiano on 4th of July weekend. I'm Jeff Radford, hoping you're enjoying and celebrating independence and freedom, whether that be with family or friends. And a good friend of this show is Lansing Mayor Virge Bonaro. And here's a little of what Virge had to say to us last week.
But we don't have to accept it.
At a time when truth is needed, when courage and strength is rare, when a voice is needed to cut through the lies.
Disagreeing is not enough any longer. In order to mandate change, we must not just show up. Now we must stand up.
It's time for First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
And welcome back. Thank you all for being with us as we begin our third hour of this Wednesday program. I want to remind you, we do have a toll-free number. We're happy to pick up the phone call, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. The email address, if you'd like to connect with us that way, as many of you have today. And I do appreciate it, tony@thetonyshow.org. And want to remind you that we have a wonderful Facebook page for First Shift. Just search for First Shift. And our poll question of the day before we get on to our guest today is a simple question. We talked about it a little bit earlier on in the show, but the question stands. Do you support the DREAM Act that would make a path to U.S. citizenship easier to attain? That's just a yes or no. Let us know what you think. The yeses are winning at this point, but it's early, still early enough in the show where that could change. And of course, you can vote on this poll all day long, and we'll mention our results tomorrow morning. So let us turn our attention where it needs to be every week at this time. Jeff, if you would, go ahead.
Time for Tough Talk with Tony and the Mayor of Lansing,
Virge Bonaro.
And we welcome back the mayor of Lansing, Michigan, on the Verge himself, Verge Bonaro. Verge, we missed you last week. My prayers are with you, my friend. I was sorry to hear of your misfortune, but glad to have you back this week.
Well, thank you so much. Good to be here, Tony. Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. A lot going on. Listen, before we get into the topics that you and I are going to get into today, you know, and one of them has to do with the Supreme Court decision that came down just on Monday. You know, as I take a look at the Supreme Court and the makeup, and of course it is still very conservative, and in spite of what President Obama is attempting to do, I've got to wonder. We see two big cases, one of them the class action suit against Walmart and the, you know, 1.6 million female employees of Walmart that were basically told, there are too many of you, we're not going to deal with you, and they sent them away. You know, there still seems to be a pro-corporate judicial mindset in this country. Does that bother you, Virge Bonaro?
Well, absolutely. You know, we all want business to succeed. I'm a pro-business mayor. But the government should be there. The whole notion, I mean, one of the reasons I'm a Democrat is that there has to be some buffer between the regular citizen, just the regular person, and these ever-expanding, these massive, powerful corporations, because it's just amazing. And yet we've got a Supreme Court that is granting rights to corporations, giving them greater rights. They've already got the power, they've got the money, and then they're getting carte blanche by the Supreme Court. It's sick and sad and dangerous at a time when, you know, corporations are getting bigger than ever. They're global, they're multinational. And so even though if you look at the history of this country, you had trust busters, Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, who I think would be a Democrat today. But you know, even in the Republican Party, you had elements that wanted to have legitimate protections for regular citizens. And today, the Republican Party is just a tool, it seems, of the corporation's ever expanding power over. And the little guy, the average person, really doesn't have much resources. I mean, if you don't have access to the courts, if you can't take recourse in the courts and get some protections for individual rights, I don't know where else you can go.
Well, yeah, Virg, even in the Walmart case that I mentioned, you know, the reality is people can still, you know, continue with that lawsuit. They now either have to do it individually or they have to do it in smaller groups. That, of course, does two things dramatically. It delays what to me is obvious. It delays a decision that to me is obvious that, yes, they were discriminated against, number one. But more importantly, it creates a financial stress on somebody that doesn't have the resources to do this to begin with, because their employer didn't pay them appropriately. I mean, so it's
you're right on, Tony. You know, justice delayed is justice denied, it has been said. And, of course, the court should be there as the arbiter, should be looking out for the little guy and not just always the corporations. And then, but this is where you go, and this is demonstrates to folks who the president is matters. These presidents, this is an independent reason to vote for President Obama. It's an independent reason because if you care, the Supreme Court has such immense power in cases like this. You have to have justices who care for the average person. And it shows you on a 5-4 decision, we just need one more justice who cares about people and is willing to put people first. And it's the President of the United States that makes that vital appointment.
Well, and I'll bring that down to the state level. We also have a Republican as our governor. We have Republicans controlling the House and the Senate. And we also have Republicans controlling our Supreme Court. I'm going to use redistricting, Virg Bernero, as an example. If we were to take what I feel is gerrymandering to the nth degree, if I take what I believe is legislators deciding who their voters are going to be, not voters deciding who their legislators are going to be, and I were to bring that to the Supreme Court, because they are a Republican-leaning state Supreme Court, I would have no chance of my vote really counting.
Well, it just demonstrates again, Tony, that elections have consequences. Kudos to you. You're encouraging people to get involved, to join up, to sign up. And to sound off, certainly, on your show, but also then to act. Get active, re-engage, and take control of this government that ought to be a government of, by, and for the people, and not just of, by, and for the rich and famous, the rich and powerful.
All right.
We're seeing a corporatization.
All right. Well, we've been talking about the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's talk about a 5-4 decision that I know is on your mind today, and it deals with Arizona's clean elections law, and I'll let you take it from there, Virg.
You got it. The case is McComish versus Bennett. I posted this on my Facebook. It's a further corporatization. It's really an extension of the Citizens United case. The Citizens United case, of course, unleashed a torrent of corporate dollars into campaigns nationwide, giving corporations greater power, giving them greater access and control of the political system. Now comes this decision, another 5-4 decision, Arizona striking down the Arizona Clean Elections Law, which had allowed public matching funds to help a candidate to respond when attacked by the so-called independent commission. These independent committees that come in, these corporate-funded committees, which are unlimited. And so, you know, this once again puts the corporations in charge. The Arizona law was designed to level the playing field for candidates of modest means. You know, that's why you have public funding, so that the average person can run, so that the average person can have access to the ballot box and you know, can share in public life. But this Supreme Court decision once again puts corporate interest in the driver's seat, allows the vote of the people to be shouted down by corporate power and corporate money. It's sad and, again, dangerous, and, again, demonstrates and reminds us why we must have President Obama back for 4 years, hopefully, and that we know in that time, you know, there are justices, Democratic-leaning justices, who may retire and need to be replaced. And hopefully in that next 4 years you get one of the Republicans to go one of the right-wing conservatives to go, and we can get a justice or two in there who's going to put people first. I mean, come on, this is basic. It's just the Citizens United was horrendous, and this is another horrendous decision, giving corporations sweeping powers over our democratic process. It's unbelievable, really.
Well, you know, and it seems very daunting for the average person. You know, you had said, and thank you for the nice things you said about the show. Certainly, this is a call to action. There's no question First Shift is really about moving people from the couch, you know, to maybe knocking on someone's door as a candidate for office, if that's what you choose to do. But looking at this, you know, this basically sends the message to an activist, to somebody that's really passionate about a cause or a movement. Verge, it basically says to them, you don't matter. No matter what, the people with money are going to beat you, so you might as well just stay home. And I hate to sound so defeatist, but I don't know any other way to look at this.
Well, you're right on. I mean, it really is. It really is a cynic's view of government, basically saying you can buy your way in. To have corporate dollars directly into the political system. You know, we had sort of a bipartisan agreement that was a bad idea, that individuals should be able to get involved and make a difference and contribute, but the corporate dollars were a whole separate issue. And this is really making it a wash and giving the power to the corporations. It's got to be turned around. It's only going to be turned around at that presidential level. I mean, we've got to be involved. We've got to make sure that we can put the public first in the political system and guarantee participation by regular folks. The only way to do that, I guess, is to affect the Supreme Court. Well, we've got to have President Obama back.
And then there's no question. I would agree with everything you've just said. You know, and Virgin, I also want to let people know, although I've just sounded a little defeatist and perhaps a little cynical, that doesn't mean that good, passionate, committed people can't make great change and can't win. You can. We just need more of you to step up and to engage in the process. It's one thing to agree with us. Well, you know, Virg, it's one thing to agree with us. It's quite another thing to actually get up and do something about it. And so we're asking people to do something about it.
You know this. Too often, Tony, we've defeated ourselves. The Republicans haven't defeated us. There's not more of them. There's still more of us than there is of them. But in many elections, we defeat ourselves by not showing up.
Absolutely. Verge, we got to take the break. Hold that thought. Verge Bernero on The Verge is my guest. You're going to find ontheverge.org. Also at Facebook, On The Verge. Let's take a quick break here. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back on Detroit's only progressive talk show right after this.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, The Best Of, The First Shift with Tony Truppiano Show right here on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for listening in to our best of show here on the 4th of July. First Shift with Tony Trupiano. You know what makes our country great? It's that you can argue for what you believe is right. If there is something you don't like, you have the power to do something about it. Or do we? Autumn Smith is a regular citizen, upset with how things are going, and following the law is trying to do something about it. But the deck may be unfairly stacked against her. I'll let Tony and Autumn tell you how.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. This next story I'm about to share with you just has me a little bit confused. And one of the reasons I'm confused is why the major newspapers around the state aren't picking it up, including the papers in Detroit, although this is happening on the west side of the state. This is absolutely phenomenal. We have a record number of recalls against members of the state House and Senate this year, not to mention the recall against the governor, which we have talked about on this show at great length. And I find it confusing that this particular story is not major news, because it is against the Michigan Speaker of the House, Jace Bulger. Joining me now is Autumn Smith. Who is Autumn Smith? Well, she's a concerned citizen that is represented by Representative Jace Bulger. She's not happy and would like to see him recalled. All right, that in and of itself may not be front page news, but what's happened as a result of this recall should be. Autumn Smith, I want to welcome you to First Shift and thank you for spending some time with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, let's just set this up so that people can, you know, find out. Why did you decide that this representative needed to be recalled, Autumn?
Well, there was obviously numerous reasons that I felt he needed to be recalled. And then obviously when I chose to submit petition language, I'm limited to 200 words. So I had to narrow the reasons down. But the main reason that I focused on was the emergency manager law, taxing of pensions. Those were two of the main issues that I addressed in my languages that I had submitted to the Election Commission.
All right, and so just so my audience understands how this works, you fill out a form, you turn it into the Elections Commission, then they decide whether or not the language is justifiable in order to allow a recall to, at that point, move forward, correct?
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to work. That's not necessarily how it does work,
well,
as I've experienced.
Right, so. And that brings us to why I believe this should be front page news, and it's not. Now, we got this story from our friend Chris Savage at Eclecta Blog, so I just want to make sure that people understand how you came to find yourself on the show today. And indeed, Autumn Smith, this is where it gets quite odd. Let's just go to the present, and then we're going to work back a little bit. There's been an injunction against the recall going forward. I've never heard of this in my life. So explain to my audience the legal, and not in legalese, but from a legal perspective, what the hell just happened that is now delaying your petition moving forward?
Well, what happened was the other day I received a call, 2 days ago I received a call from the press, right at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They wanted a comment on this injunction and temporary restraining order that had been issued. I had no knowledge. I had no knowledge whatsoever that this had happened. So I really couldn't say much to the press. So after I got off the phone with the press, I did get an email from the Election Commission, just a simple email. And it just said that there was an order granting temporary restraining and a preliminary injunction on the Calhoun County Election Commission, and they are enjoined and restrained from accepting or approving petitions submitted by the petitioner, which is me, seeking the recall of the representative of James Bolger until further notice, and then we have a court date. Now, I had to decipher this myself and contact my legal people that are, you know, kind of helping me on the side. What's going on? And nobody has really heard of this step. I anticipated an appeal, obviously, on language that was already approved, but this was something that I was not expecting.
Now, you know, and let me again make it clear, you're just an average citizen. I understand that you are disabled as well, and that, you know, I've got to be honest with you, it seems like he's kind of picking on somebody that shouldn't be, you know, if he's going to pick a fight, well, this wouldn't be the fight to pick, but... You know, Autumn, I know that you don't have the financial resources to go out and get an attorney and fight this thing. And so, first of all, I want to say if there's an attorney listening to the show right now that would like to help Autumn, let us know and we'll get you in touch with her. But this is really getting out of control, and all you're doing we've got a record number of recalls. You're not doing anything different than anybody else that's looking to recall a sitting member of the State House or the Senate right now.
That's exactly right. My tactics may be a little more, you know, when my first language got turned down, the very next day I was down there with six more. I'm more prepared, and I think that they thought that once my first language got turned down that that's the last they'd see of me, and that they're very, very wrong in that arena. And so I think they've gotten frustrated that, you know, that I keep coming back and I'm not going away. I was at the NOF hearing. I was at, you know, I've been sitting in at other hearings. I've been very active with this hearing, with this case, obviously, but they thought that, you know, once they trampled my first language down and voted that down, that I'd be done. And I came right back up the next day with six more languages. And I think that they weren't expecting that, nor were they expecting the commission to approve two of my languages at my last hearing, but it's been a very eventful thing from the beginning when I first filed languages, to say the least.
Well, let's you know, Autumn, and I think it's important that when we look at the election commission in is it Calhoun County? Is that what we're talking?
Yes, yes.
All right, you know, is this a nonpartisan group? Are they supposed to be nonpartisan, and are they treating you as a nonpartisan?
They're supposed to be nonpartisan per se. The commission is made up of the county treasurer, the county clerk, and the chief probate judge of Calhoun County. And at my very first hearing, which took place on May 25th, because I submitted my first language on May 10th, my first hearing, I outed possible conflicts of interest among the Clarity Board and even myself, because last year I campaigned for the judge that sits on that commission. I also found through campaign finance reports that there was money exchanged between the clerk and Jace Bolger, and also that the night before my Clarity hearing, there was a host committee that Jace Bolger and the county clerk were both on, welcoming Lieutenant Governor Calley at Mayor Baldwin's house. So I just kind of found that these things, you know, individually or together, were something that should be raised. I wasn't necessarily demanding they all recuse themselves, but I just thought, you know, hey, I'm outing myself too by saying I contributed to the judge's campaign and I campaigned for him. You know, this is just, let's just tell everybody where, you know.
Yeah, just full disclosure is all you were doing.
Yeah, I was just being honest. It wasn't meant to be personal. It was just meant to say, let's just everybody show their cards. So when I outed them at the hearing and such, just to be honest, I got attacked for about 15 minutes from the treasurer, just going off on, you know, how she, you know, and she's the one that really didn't have any conflict, and she attacked me for about 15 minutes straight. She also showed her bias that, you know, during her attack, she says, I like Jace Bolger. I think he's a man of integrity. I like Mike Noss. And I'm like, what? This is supposed to be an unbiased board. And then she sits there and talks about how much she hates her job. So that was the first clarity hearing, which was quite a dog and pony show in itself. But after that hearing, like I said, I did the very next day go down and refile six languages, which I had talked to the election clerk in Calhoun County, and I asked her, do they need to be submitted on a petition form when they're being put before the Clarity Board? She contacted Lansing Bureau of Elections, who informed her that no, you know, basically they don't have to be, but when you circulate, obviously they have to be on a petition. So I typed up the six languages, gave them to the election clerk, only to be told a few days later that the Lansing Bureau of Election had changed their interpretation of the law, and therefore my six languages that I submitted are no longer valid and acceptable, and I have to resubmit, which then pushed my next clarity hearing date back. So I had to go through that hoop. So I went back down, resubmitted them on the same form that I had submitted my first language on, and the same identical form that is currently circulating for Governor Snyder's recall, and they still wouldn't accept them. So then I had to sit at the clerk's office for about 2 hours and resubmit each one according to their newly conveniently changed interpretation of election law, and then my next clarity hearing for June 13th was set. That clarity hearing, too, was kind of crazy. It was almost a two-hour long clarity hearing. It was basically the commission couldn't get through their head that, yes, you have multiple languages before you, but should you approve more than one, I will only be circulating one. They kept assuming that if they happen to approve two or three, that all of those are going to end up on the ballot.
This is insane, Autumn Smith. The board themselves, who sets the regulations and rules, don't even understand what they're administering, is what I'm hearing you say.
That's absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. Then they got in the argument about the header, that I had the title of office on the petition incorrect. I had the title of office for James Bolger, Michigan State House, District 63. Then they got in this argument. So they gave me an opportunity to amend it during the hearing. I amended it to the correct, what it says on the ballot, Representative and Legislator, 63rd District.
All right, Autumn, hold that thought. We're going to keep you through the break. Stay with us. If you'd like to join, this is just astounding. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org. Autumn Smith, my guest. This is just amazing. And this isn't over. I mean, that's the crazy part, is it's not even over yet. I don't get it. We'll take the break. We'll be back. I'm Tony Trupiano. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. We'll be back on First Shift right after this.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, The Best Of. The First Shift with Tony Trupiano Show right here on 1310 WDTW.
Kids don't come with instruction manuals. I'm Stacey Bachman, and I'd like to invite you to join my husband, Steve, and I here on 1310 WDTW Saturdays at 9 a.m., where on a weekly basis we'll bring you interviews with national and international experts, along with the best tips and techniques and newest information to help you and your child overcome the challenges and hurdles that you're facing so they can reach their highest potential. It's not an instruction manual, just parents helping parents. The My Great Kid Radio Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on 1310 WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blending. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. Participate in McDonald's.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Ship.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Ship with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, The Best Of, the First Shift with Tony Trupiano Show right here on 1310 WDTW.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. My guest, Autumn Smith, she's a Calhoun County resident, just wanted to, because she was unhappy with a myriad of things, wanted to set forth a process called recall, as many Republicans are experiencing this year, in the year 2011, including our Governor Rick Snyder. She has been met with roadblock after roadblock, and now legal action, and with an injunction that doesn't even allow the election commission to hear an argument in favor of putting a petition together for recall. It sounds insane because, frankly, it is. And I've never heard of anybody trying so hard not to be recalled. Before we continue on with the story, I'd like to go to the phone. Autumn, let's welcome Earl in Ypsilanti to the show. Earl, you're on the air.
Tony, hey, Autumn, to keep up the good work, Autumn. It sounds to me like the election board in Calhoun County needs to be recalled, for one. And I don't know who the judge is that issued this injunction. If it's an elected position, they need to recall that judge. This is a violation. They're trampling our rights. They're trampling your rights as a citizen. And we definitely have recall as a right to redress our government. And keep up the good work, and I'll just listen to the rest on the area.
Well, thank you, Earl. And I'm assuming that I have the Autumn, the legal paperwork with me. The Conrad, is it Sint is the last name?
Yes.
Do you know if he's an elected judge?
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm. I believe so. He's been on the bench for a long time.
Well, again, I don't understand the injunction. I mean, I've read it. I understand what it says. I mean, it's not that I don't understand what it says. I understand what it says. I've just never seen anybody go to such great length to not even have a petition considered for recall. Does, in your opinion, Autumn, does Jace Bolger think that he is being, I don't know, harassed, stalked? Are you getting any clear reason why they are working so hard to not let this happen?
Well, and that's kind of when you hear the word restraining order, that's the first thing that went through my mind is, does he think I'm stalking him? Does he think this? No, I've never really met him in my life. I met him last year. He probably doesn't even remember me while I was campaigning at various events. But, I'm not bothering him or anything. I'm doing what I feel is correct in not only my right as a citizen, but I'm coming up with my own strategy as to how to do this, because with all of the hoops I've had to jump through, I have to figure out what my next move is. So, you know, by amending the title of office and getting the language passed, it was suggested to me by the Election Commission that I resubmit the language as amended. So that's part of why I, after the two languages were approved, I resubmitted the language as amended to hopefully correct any errors that could have been overturned on appeal. And then I get this injunction and temporary restraining order that canceled my hearing that I was supposed to have yesterday. And now I did find out through the grapevine that he's also filed an appeal on the two languages that were approved. So I too, you know, most people are just saying, odds are already stacked against people when they recall. Let her have her recall. Even people that are against recall, they're just saying, let her have her recall. You know, so it's been a very frustrating thing, but I'm not backing down. I mean, if anybody thinks this is going to, you know, back me down or make me quit, they're wrong. It's actually re-energized my call, my, you know, my page with my people that I'm contacting with. It's gotten a little bit bigger news than some of the other headlines, and it's provided more support to me. So if anything, I guess I should thank Jace for causing all of this trouble and drawing all of this undue attention, because it's doing him no favors.
Well, that's true, Autumn. You got that right. Now, I understand, do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, I do. It's Facebook. It's pretty open in the regular search. It's called Recall Michigan Speaker of the House, Jace Bolger.
Recall Michigan Speaker of the House, Jace Bolger. And we will, of course, actually, we've already got it up. My staff is just wonderful. It's already up on our Facebook page. So if you go to the First Shift Facebook page, it's right there. Daily Kos is also, somebody on Daily Kos is blogging for your case as well. Autumn, and certainly you're right. This is getting a whole lot more attention because they continue to fight you. And again, you have a constant, and I'll remind this audience, you have a constitutionally protected right to do what you're doing, as everybody else has that is trying to recall a member of this, of the state house or the state senate and the governor. All you're doing is exercising your constitutional right. And I want to remind, and I want to say this one more time, if there's an attorney in this audience right now that can give some pro bono advice to Autumn, that would be greatly appreciated. She does not have deep pockets. The law firm, by the way, for the Speaker of the House, Jace Bolger, is Dykema Gossett, who is a well-known, very well-connected, very heavy law firm. And I assure you, the Speaker has much, much deeper pockets than sweet Autumn Smith does. And I don't think, although I didn't ask you that question, I think I'm pretty much right on that score, am I not?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a college student, and I'm on a fixed income, and yeah. But, you know, lack of legal counsel or lack of funding is not going to stop this recall. I can guarantee you that right now. I will actively campaign till the very last minute, and I will actively continue to campaign should this recall continue to be blocked and Jace chooses to run again. I will actively campaign to make sure he's not reelected.
All right. Well, you've got a friend in us. I can promise you that. We will be following this in Autumn. And any time you feel like you need to come back here and explain what's going on, just know that you've got a free pass.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and I appreciate all the support that I've got.
No problem. Autumn Smith, once again. Well, I got to tell you, this one is just, I mean, Jeff, really, at the end of the day, how the hell can they justify? And I would almost say that they're harassing her at this point.
That's why when I talked to her on the phone yesterday, I was like, okay, we need to get this done on Friday, because this story is just unreal. And it's one of those things where if you give it, the more attention, like she said, the more attention Jace gives to this recall, the more popular it becomes. You're almost helping the cause now.
Well, again, I read the you were very good in your research and got me the actual court papers. I mean, I've got them in front of me. I read them. They make complete sense from an English standpoint. I mean, I understand them. I comprehend them. They don't make any sense from a constitutional standpoint. An injunction, a restraining order barring the Election Commission from a clarity hearing to decide whether or not to recall. Now, if that sounds absurd, it's because it is absurd. I mean, this is just insane.
I just can't, again, I know we keep promoting things that are way down the road, but Bruce Levine's book talks about getting beat down to the point where you don't think democracy works anymore. And this is another example of that, where they're just trying to beat down Autumn Smith so that she will eventually give up and the process will go away, and she's just not going to let it do that. And you know, hats off to her.
Yeah, well, listen, we need to make sure that we stay in touch with her, Jeff. We need to follow this as far as we need to follow this and get her back. And again, I want to just say, if there's an attorney that can provide some legal assistance to her pro bono, it would certainly be appreciated. She's being harassed, and as far as I'm concerned, he's on his way to a civil action if he keeps this up. The Speaker of the House, Jace Bolger, that is. All right, a quick break. Joe DeSano on the other side of this. We just have a lot to get to today. Let's get off to the break. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather news with CNN. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, The Best Of, the first shift with Tony Trupiano Show right here on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
One of the coolest things we've done so far and will continue to do on this show is simulcast. That is to join another live show for some crosstalk. And when Tony Trupiano and New York's Mark Riley got together to talk about governors, well, you can hear it for yourself right here, right now, on the Best Of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
You don't send your children to public schools, you send them to private schools. So I was wondering why you think it's fair to be cutting school funding to public schools.
Hey, Gail, you know what? First off, it's none of your business. I don't ask you where you're sending your kids to school. Don't bother me about where I send mine.
Too much of our educational system has been about spending money, not educating the kids. We have a broken system. So that's why we did the special message on education, to say it's all about the kids, not about the money.
And there we go, the thug and the slug, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder. And joining me now, Tony Trupiano, is Mark Riley, really a legend in the broadcasting industry. It's an honor to just be able to say his name and be in the company of someone as great as Mark Riley. Of course, we have our challenges these days all across the country. And Mark, I want to thank you for suggesting we do this simulcast this morning. I don't know, comparing the thug and the slug, I don't know who's got it worse. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning to you, Tony. The check's in the mail for that laudatory intro. That's for sure. How you doing this morning?
You know what? I'm ready. I'm ready to take on the fight because God knows the people need people like you and I, Mark.
Well, I'll tell you, what's going on in Michigan, when I heard about what was happening in Benton Harbor, it made my blood boil. The notion that a governor can appoint some guy, not elected by anybody, to go in and essentially usurp any contract that may be existing between that city and its workers, just abrogate everything, tear apart the school system, the whole nine yards, and get away with it. It just made my blood boil. And, of course, across the river, we've got, I called him something yesterday. I'm not going to repeat it today.
Oh, come on. Entertain me a little bit, Mark.
All right. Big fatso.
All right. I can go with that.
Chris Christie, a guy who seems like he ought to be down at a wrestling match or down Seaside Heights eating a hot dog, whatever. But he's here. He's trying to do, I think, what I think he considers a more sophisticated version of what Rick Snyder's doing. But you know what the two of them have in common, Tony?
What? I guess we could go on for days, but what, Mark?
Their approval ratings are dropping like stones.
Yeah, this is amazing. I have in front of me, Mark Riley, an article that came out yesterday. Polling done. Rick Snyder has dropped from his Election Day approval rating of 77% to only 33% as of last week.
You know, this is something that we're starting to see with a lot of these governors across the country. The other Rick down there in Florida, Scott, same kind of thing, 29%, the lowest approval rating of any governor in the country, and Snyder seems to be right behind him, the two Ricks. It's like, you know, once people start understanding who they've elected, they're starting to see, it seems like, Tony, to have buyer's remorse or something. It's like, whoa, what did we get ourselves into?
Yeah, but Mark, tell me a little bit about the people of New Jersey and how they're dealing with those buyer's remorse. As you know, we've got a recall effort going on here in the state of Michigan, not just with our governor, with lots of members of the Republican legislature. How are the people in New Jersey responding to this?
Jersey tends to be a bit more resigned about these things. One of the things that folk in New Jersey end up dealing with are the inevitable comparisons to what's happening in New York. And, you know, as feeble as the economic recovery may be nationwide, New York's is doing a little better than Jersey's. That doesn't reflect well on Christie. Now, Tony, one anomaly about the state of New Jersey. There are more independent voters in the Garden State than there are Democrats and Republicans combined.
Wow.
So what ends up happening is that people try and bring those independents into their fold, which is why you see, if you look across the history of New Jersey, going back to the 1970s, you see a Democrat serves a couple terms, then a Republican, then a Democrat, then a Republican. It goes on and kind of fits that sort of pattern. And that's because the independents are the ones that really rule the general elections here.
Well, you know, and we hear a lot on this show, how come we can't build a third party? And there seems to be, and Mark, you and I have both been doing radio a long time. You know, there's always been a cry for that. And it seems like if there were ever a time to do it, now would be that time. And I keep telling people maybe we're better off just trying to reform what we've got because we can never seem to get that third party going. But beyond that, Mark, you know, one of the concerns that I have as a taxpayer and you have as a taxpayer is when are we going to start serving the people instead of the politicians?
Not going to happen. Okay. Here's the thing. As you say, Tony, I've been doing this a long time. I'm a man of a certain age. And I have gone from complete cynic about politics to a bit of an idealist when I was young, back to a bit of cynicism about the way the process works, to a real understanding of how the process works. And, you know, there is a certain ruthlessness and a certain fealty to the money that gets you in office that most non-politicians simply do not understand. They don't understand that when somebody, you know, gets funded by a bunch of corporations, the first thing you're going to do once elected is not go out and shill for a tax on those same corporations or on those same individuals. Why Chris Christie held the line and said, no, I am not imposing a tax on millionaires, even if it could help the schools in New Jersey. They're not doing it. And he bullies the teachers union, despite the fact that New Jersey, among the 50 states, is one of the top 20 in terms of educational achievement.
Well, you know, again, as we continue to really pay attention to what and the one good thing, Mark, is everybody, at least in Michigan, is really paying attention on a daily basis to what's happening to education, what's happening to pensions, what's happening with these emergency managers, these dictators that have been appointed. You know, this law was around, you know, while we had a wonderful Democratic governor, the Republican governor is the one that changed the rules and decided that they could eliminate collective bargaining and they could just, you know, do whatever, you know, wave their magic wand and do whatever they wanted to do. And so the good thing that comes from this, Mark, is that people are beginning to pay attention a little bit more. What happens beyond that, I can't answer right now because I still see a bit of apathy, which, you know, the big line I do on a daily basis is it's not enough to show up anymore. You need to stand up. You know, I guess maybe I need to define that a little bit better because we obviously need to move the dial. We can't continue to go on like this because I don't know what 2012 looks like if this is what we've got 6 months into an incredibly super majority for the Republicans in both our state House, state Senate, and the governor's office, not to mention our Supreme Court, Mark.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, Tony, one of the things that's always troubling, I spent some time out in Michigan back in the day, and in Detroit specifically. And one of the things that really troubled me when the automobile industry's problems first started, there was this concerted effort promoted by, you know, corporations and their enablers in the media to blame the union for the automobile industry's troubles. You know, it's not GM, it's the UAW. It's not Chrysler, it's the UAW. It's not Ford, it's the UAW. And that has become metaphor for what we see going on across this country. Demonize the unions, and in particular, demonize government workers, and make them the ones that are responsible. Make minority homeowners responsible for the, you know, for the great economic crash. Never mind the, you know, the banksters over here on Wall Street. We just had a guy, an African-American guy, ironically enough, indicted and charged with embezzling $19.2 million from Citibank.
I saw that this morning.
Yeah. Now, you know, how did they miss that? Okay. How does that happen? We see it in government here, New York City. We've got, you know, people ripped off one contract to the tune of $120 million. And, you know, it's like all of this money that could go to putting people to work, putting people back to work, creating jobs. And we hear this mantra from Republicans, whether it be in New Jersey, whether it be here in New York, whether it be out there by you in Michigan, that all we have to do is cut taxes. That's all we need to do. We're going to create jobs by cutting taxes. What they have done to the city of Detroit, what they've done to the city of Benton Harbor, is a travesty, an absolute travesty. Nobody talks about the disinvestment that's taken place in the city of Detroit. I read about it, and I follow it, so I understand it, and I have friends that are out there, so I know what's been done to that city.
Well, Mark, I can tell you the good news is the good people of Michigan, and especially those in southeast Michigan, have not given up on the city of Detroit. They're going to work harder than they've ever worked to try to help this city to rebound. You know, we understand the economic reality, but that doesn't mean that we have to ignore the people. We don't need to ignore the process, and we certainly aren't going to abandon our children by continuing to allow these Republicans to defund education, you know, and to further harm an area. The last thing that we needed to do was to force more people out of the city. The Republicans are just hell bent on bankrupting the city. They want that, and you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, those three words that we talk about every day: follow the money.
Yeah,
you follow the money, Mark. We quickly find out what happens at that point.
Absolutely, and you know, over here we're looking at the same thing. You follow the money. You follow who is donating to these campaigns. You find, and you know, Christie, Tony. I don't know about Snyder, but Christie was elected as a moderate Republican. He was running against John Corzine, who was an incumbent. There was some discontent with him. And Christie kind of came in, you know, he's a crime fighter. He was a you know, former U.S. attorney, and came in and said, you know, I'm going to, you know, govern from the center. And what we very quickly saw was a jump to the right. And, you know, at first people cheered. Now, as they stand in line at various government agencies waiting for service, because some of those employees are gone, the cheering has stopped.
Yeah, well, and unfortunately, Mark, now this interview needs to stop. We need to get to break. We really need to do this more often. Thanks for suggesting it, Mark Riley, and I really enjoy this, and I'm sure the audience has benefited from it as well.
Tony, thank you so much for agreeing to do it. We are going to do it again in the very near future.
Very good. Mark Riley, again, WWRL in New York. We will look forward to doing this. Folks, we do have to take a quick break here. I'm glad that we had a chance to connect with our brother station in New York, WWRL. Let's take a very quick break here. We come back. We've got some more audio I want to get to you as well. And, you know, it's just, it's a good morning. It's a good morning. Are you guys ready for change? I am. I truly am ready for change. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is Detroit's only progressive talk station. And you got it right here. Thanks for punching in this morning on First Shift. We'll take the break. We'll be back right after this.
Ew. Stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Ah, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, the July 4th break will end early for Congress because of the looming debt ceiling deadline. CNN's Bob Costantini reports live reducing the deficit will be a big part of the negotiations. Bob.
Well, Bill, on CNN's State of the Union, Senator John McCain holding the line on Republicans' vow to not let taxes be raised in any debt ceiling deal. He cites the 2010 midterms that put the GOP in control of the House.
The results of the election was that American people didn't want their taxes raised, and they wanted us to cut spending.
August 2nd is the deadline for working out a deal, the point where Uncle Sam faces the prospect of default. The parties are looking for ways to cut deficits by trillions of dollars over 10 years, but have different ideas on what's needed most. Bill?
Six people are missing after a boat full of tourists sank off Mexico's Baja Peninsula. U.S. Coast Guard Petty Officer Pamela Balin says it happened quickly.
It was a 100-foot fishing charter vessel, and it hit some rough weather, and it capsized and sank almost immediately.
37 people who were on the boat are safe. Jury deliberations should begin today in the Casey Anthony murder trial. Anthony could get the death penalty if she's convicted of killing her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee. Bosnian Serb genocide suspect Ratko Mladic refused to enter a plea and was kicked out of court for interrupting the judge at his war crimes trial in The Hague today. You might want to make sure the water is safe before you take a dip in the ocean this summer. David Beckman with the Natural Resources Defense Council explains why.
Swimming in dirty water can literally make you sick, and kids are particularly susceptible.
The annual Testing the Waters report finds there was a 29% increase in the number of days beaches had to be closed. I'm Bill Caiaccio. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
How do you make car care simple? Put all the experts you need under one roof. That's how Midas works. Whether it's oil changes, brakes, alignments, or advanced engine diagnostics, the choice is simple. Drive all over town or head to Midas, where you'll find technicians trained on state-of-the-art equipment, all in one convenient location. How's that for making car care simple? Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Visit us at Midas.com.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
If you hit the road for the holiday, you're paying less for your 4th of July car trip than you did over Memorial Day. Gas prices have been falling since early May.
On May 5th, we had our high price for the year for the national average. That was $3.98.
AAA gas price watcher Avery Ash.
Since that date, 45 of 49 days, we had seen declines in the national average price at the pump. So we are certainly in a period of decline for the price that people across the country will be seeing.
Heading into the holiday weekend, AAA's national average price for regular was just a little over $3.50 a gallon. And it sees prices falling further after the release of emergency oil supplies.
This would be expected to have downward pressure on crude oil prices, which in turn would then be expected to have downward pressure on gasoline prices. So we can expect some of this in the short term, continued downward trend for gasoline prices.
AAA's Avery Ash. I'm Adrian Mitchell from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Website downtime is trouble for leading online businesses like Amazon, eBay, and Google. They figured out a way to ensure uptime, but at a cost most companies cannot afford. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Load Balancer provides continuous availability and peak performance across multiple websites while preventing network intrusions. Don't risk downtime. Visit Barracuda.com/uptime to try the Barracuda Load Balancer free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/uptime.
Class, this is Small Business Insurance 101. I'm Professor Burke. Roll footage, please. This is Pat's Wings, home to the famous incinerator sauce. Lots can go wrong at small restaurants like Pat's. Slippery floors, fires, cutlery juggling incidents. With our coverage, when the unexpected happens, Pat barely breaks a sweat. Unlike those eating his fiery wings.
Sit down with a farmer's insurance agent to see how you can protect your small business. Find your local agent at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all areas.
How do you make car care simple? Put all the experts you need under one roof. That's how Midas works. Whether it's oil changes, brakes, alignments, or advanced engine diagnostics, the choice is simple. Drive all over town or head to Midas, where you'll find technicians trained on state-of-the-art equipment, all in one convenient location. How's that for making car care simple? Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Visit us at Midas.com.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Happy 4th of July, everyone. I'm Jeff Radford, and we have just one more hour left of this Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano show. I've saved the best for last. Okay, so I'm a little impartial. I grew up a big Fab Five fan. But Jalen Rose has moved his focus from basketball to now education in the city of Detroit.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, Tony Trupiano, indeed with you. We are in wait of one Mr. Jalen Rose. And, you know, Radford, more than any other reason I wanted to have him on was to say to him, hey, dude, what's it like to know that 20 years ago you were part of the Fab Five? It's been 20 years, Jeff.
Yeah, that makes me feel old.
Well, you are old.
That's
true. I mean, you're so old you can't even get out of bed in the morning.
I talked about CDs yesterday.
Cross-dressers or compact discs?
Compact discs.
Well, I don't know. You said CDs. You got to understand the world I live in. That's part of the dialogue
so.
in my world.
I've never thought of CDs as standing for that.
Well, it does.
So, yeah, and people looked at me like I was crazy. CDs. Like, no one uses those anymore.
What do they do? MP3s?
Yeah, it's MP3s, playlists, iPods, stuff like that.
Really? People don't buy CDs anymore?
No, you buy stuff off of iTunes now is how it goes down.
Okay. And now you have a Mac, although it's the show's Mac, I need to remind you.
No, you don't need to remind me. Dominic used it while he was here, so.
That is true, but he was using it to watch the U.S. Open. Keep in mind, I walked in there during the show. But that's okay. Listen, my guest is here now, so let's turn our attention where it needs to be. Why talk to Radford when I've got a... No, we don't have him yet. Yeah, so... we have Amir, right? So we're going to go to Amir, and we'll welcome Amir to the show. Hey, Amir, thanks for calling back, buddy. I'm sorry we just were up against the clock a little earlier.
No, that's no problem, Tony. To your emailer, you know... Our problem in America is we do not use facts. We do not talk about facts. We talk about beliefs, opinions, and feelings. We do not base our opinions, beliefs, and feelings off of facts. DPS school system is destroyed because in 1999, the state took our schools over. Detroit has not ran the schools or had control of the school budget since 1999. We did not put ourselves in a deficit. We had a plan to fix our schools. That's why we, the people in the city of Detroit, put a $1.5 billion bond, meaning a tax on the city of Detroit, to fix our schools.
Yeah, absolutely, Amir. You know, you had called and talked about this the other day, and actually this fits nicely into my next guest. So your call comes at the right time, and I want to thank you. Let me turn to my next guest now, because he's had a chance to hear what Amir had to say. Joining me now is Jalen Rose. Jalen founded the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. He is, of course, an ESPN and NBC studio analyst, 13-year NBA veteran, and former star of the Michigan Fab Five. Jalen Rose, welcome to First Shift. 20 years, dude. We were just making fun of you. 20 years ago was Fab Five. Thanks for thanks and welcome to the show today.
Making me feel old.
You and should feel old. 20 years is a long time there, brother.
And also in 1991, I was a graduate of Detroit Southwestern High School in the DPS.
Well, you are certainly a proud recipient of a Detroit public school system the certificate of graduation. You know, I got to tell you, as I was looking at the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy website yesterday, you guys do something kind of unique. You actually have admittance to the school based on a lottery system, and I want to thank you for doing that because a lot of charters don't do that.
Thank you very much. Being a product of the public school system, I understand that you have to do what you can to help influence all. And when you have a lottery system, we understand that we're going to get some ninth graders that are reading at fourth or fifth grade levels. We're going to get some ninth graders that are reading at tenth grade levels. We wanted to give everyone an opportunity to come to a quality school where learning is going to be paramount, a charter school that's really trying to break the mold in the city of Detroit. We have some great private schools. We have a couple of very good public schools. We have some very good charter schools. So for me personally, that argument doesn't really matter. It doesn't hold water for me. It's just about creating some quality schools for our students to learn. And that's what we're trying to do at the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy.
You know, it's interesting. People do, you obviously, Jalen Rose, you've done very well with your life, very successful in every facet of your life. And God bless you for that. And I'm happy for you. You know, a lot of athletes don't necessarily go down this road. They might endorse a charity or give money to a disease. Not that there's anything, of course, wrong with any of that. But you chose education. Why education?
It's the key to our future. And a lot of times, being an athlete, people pay attention to the headline, being an All-American at Detroit Southwestern, being a member of the Fab Five at the University of Michigan, getting drafted to the NBA, but not paying attention to the actual article. I was an honor roll student in high school. I was a college graduate. I'm working in my major of mass communications now with ESPN and ABC. And really just opening a charter school is a graduation of my mission. I've helped influence at least 40 kids to college. I have an endowment for scholarship at the University of Michigan. So really just opening a Jalen Rose Leadership Academy is my way to try to help more students give back to the city of Detroit. And obviously it's not just me. I have a tremendous planning team. I have a tremendous co-founder in Michael Carter. So many board members who are passionate about the youth of Detroit and really want to see our city get out of this education crisis that we are in, whether people want to admit it or not.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we spent a lot of time on this program talking about education, and I don't know how aware you are of what the Governor Snyder has done with the school funding. And the legislature providing some significant cuts to the school system. And, you know, now more than ever, when we probably need more money instead of less money in the schools, they're unfortunately getting less money. You will enroll your first class this upcoming fall, correct?
Yes, September 6th. And I'm very aware of the cuts. So much aware that I understand our prison system is actually declining. But I know that the budget for the prison system and the correctional facilities has risen to the point where $30,000 to $40,000 per year we're spending per prisoner, yet we're barely able to spend $7,000 per student. So where are our priorities? And those numbers are indicative of why our system is flawed.
Well, you know, and then as a charter, you have an added burden. I know part of that, and we certainly will take some time to talk about. You've got a fundraiser coming up with some pretty big names on it. But you know, part of the mandate of having a charter school is you need to fund this thing, and you need to fund it properly. How are you able to respond to that financially?
Being state funded, being a public school, we're a tuition free academy. But what I'm trying to create at the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy is we have some high-performing public schools and charter schools in the city of Detroit, but we don't really have that break-the-mold country day, Catholic Central, University of Liggett, those schools, while they're in the Detroit area, they're not in Detroit. And I'm trying to create a school to where we could compete with that school, those schools, and when our kids put a resume on the desk, they have the same skills as those kids whose parents were fortunate enough to pay $25,000 a year for their kid to go to. Because we know in urban situations, that's just not the reality. So separatism really starts at a young age. And I'm trying to do what I can to help bridge that gap.
Well, you know, I think it's significant to note that, and especially to those that listen to this show on a regular basis, that, you know, education really is at the foundation of what we talk about here on a daily basis. You know, what you want for the Jalen Rose Academy, of course, is what you would want for all students, no matter what school system they're in, whether it be Detroit or Los Angeles or Chicago. You know, it doesn't matter. This should be something that's afforded to every child.
Absolutely. And if the system isn't working, you got to find ways to make change. 25% of African-American young men are graduating high school once they enter in ninth grade. 25%. That's probably the lowest in the country. There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their family. We have to find ways to turn that situation around, and education is the base.
Well, I can't disagree with that. I mean, really, this flight that we talk about to the suburbs is about education for a lot of people. They think it's about safety. And, Jalen Rose, this isn't about safety at all. It's about taking care of your family and making sure your children have a good educational base in order to give them some advantages in this world. Without a good education, it's a much tougher road to haul. That's for damn sure. Let's talk a little bit about the golf outing, you know, the first annual golf outing you got coming up. Again, some big names coming into town to help you out. So talk a little about when is that, and if people can get involved, how they can get involved.
July 11th in Ann Arbor. For more information, go to jrladetroit.com. That's jrladetroit.com. There are so many people who have influenced Detroit or have Michigan ties directly or indirectly, whether they're from the Detroit area, went to college at a school in Michigan, that are passionate and really want to help give back to the youth of Detroit. A lot of them have committed to be at the golf outing and really try to help create the Break the Mold model at the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. But also I want to point out another thing. The 8 most important years in a kid's life are the 4 they're in high school and the 4 they should be in college. You ask any adult that's unhappy with their career, that's unhappy with their life, that's unhappy with their situation, they point back to that 8-year window, to the mistakes, the poor decisions that they made in that area.
Yeah,
so it's very important to make quality decisions and be educated, not just a diploma, but a degree as well and a career.
I agree. Thank you so much for your time. Commit to coming back when you've got 1 year under your belt. Let's see how things are going at the school.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jalen Rose, once again, we'll take a quick break. Be back after this.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. So, Radford, you get to keep your job.
Why is that?
Jalen Rose is a good interview.
I was loving the entire thing. And you know what? The common ground found, because, of course, you know, it was a charter school, but then he did say the lottery. The common ground found between the two, you know, our show and what he's doing is the basis of education and the fact that it needs to get better. And Jalen knew what he was talking about. $40,000 for a prisoner And then, it, you know, you barely get 7 to 8 per kid in the DPS.
Well, you know, that goes back to that letter that you gave me a few weeks ago about the superintendent that wrote and said, turn us into a prison.
Exactly. And that's exactly the point that I was heading towards, is that, like he said, priorities are messed up and education is where it's at. And the two of you, you know, listening to the conversation, it seemed like, yeah, you know, some of this stuff could be avoided. Forget about, you know, attacking crime right now, which, I mean, I guess you shouldn't have, you know, forget about it. But if you get to these kids before they don't graduate, because like he said, 25% of African-Americans in the city of Detroit graduate. That means 75% don't. And according to his words, that leads to other problems that, you know, now we have to find other solutions to.
Well, you know, think about what he said at the end of the interview. And we'll ask Dr. Jennifer Martin about this and when she's back with us in the 8 o'clock hour. But, you know, think about what he said at the end of that interview with regard to that 8 years, that 4 years of high school and then that 4 years of college. You and I had that experience. Not everybody listening to us has had that 8-year experience. And, you know, for me, it was an amazingly positive time in my life. And, you know, you and I don't know that we've ever talked about mentors, but, you know, the majority of my mentors, if not all of them, are educators, Jeff. And so as I look at the educational experience, you know, it's the building shouldn't matter. Where the building's at shouldn't matter. But what needs to happen is you need to have an administration in every building and a central administration in every district that understands how to support the teacher, because it is the teacher that truly is the one that defines that experience for a student, period. And think about that, Jeff. Think long and hard. It's about the professors you've had. It's about your fifth grade teacher and your ninth grade English teacher and your 12th grade math teacher. These are the people that have made that experience exceptional for you.
And don't think that it hasn't happened for Jalen either. I mean, reading books, if you've read the Fab Five book, or if you've listened to Jalen talk about the JIR or LA before, those mentors, you know, few and far between maybe, but he did have them, you know, and that's what's led to the experiences of him going after education, like you were saying. Some athletes don't see them in the spotlight, or maybe they just write a check and that's it. They don't want to donate their time and you know, to each their own. You're right. As long as they're doing something, if they're doing something at all. But Jalen is front and center, giving his time, giving his money, giving his effort, trying to get this started, caring about the education in Detroit, and I think it's great.
Well, listen, to plan a school, it's not like they have to reinvent it, because we already know how to do it, but still, to go to that point to find a building and then to build that infrastructure and to get that initial seed money and to get approved for that and then to put that team together. And again, you know, the one question that I am absolutely angry at myself for not asking him is, when those teachers arrive in the fall, will they have collective bargaining agreements? But I think you told me that they do, or that I'm pretty sure that you told me something, and maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, that's important to me, that the teachers that are going to teach at the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, you know, actually have a collective bargaining agreement. If all that's in place, then how can I find fault with this? And Dr. Martin and I were talking during the break, and again, we're going to bring her back in the 8 o'clock hour, Jeff, but we were talking during the break. No one's saying not to do this. You know, the point is, how do we do this better with what we already have? Well, we already know how to do that. We just need to fund it properly. If we would just properly fund education, most of the problems we perceive to have would go away. So for that emailer, Jeff, that emailed me earlier and said that money solves these problems, it does.
Yeah. He said just keep throwing money at the problem. And again, I hear this constantly from that, you know, I don't want to put it out there, those people, but people who take things to the extreme. Well, yeah, if you just toss money at a problem, it's not going to go away. If you toss money smartly at a problem, A, you could probably use less money, and B, it solves the problem because you're doing it in a smart way. So there's your intellectual knowledge for the day.
Well, and this has been my experience, and you need to keep in mind that, you know, I've sat on corporate boards. I'm not a newbie to this. I really do know what I'm talking about. I have a lot of friends that are very gifted teachers. They're never invited to the conversation. You know, the teachers are never invited to the conversation about how to fix education. They invite the principal. They invite the superintendent. They invite the curriculum officer. You know, they invite all those people, Jeff, but they don't invite the teacher. They invite them to the hearing, but they don't invite them to the meeting. And the meeting is where the deal gets done, and they're not inviting them to the meeting. If you invite the teachers to the meeting, something would actually get accomplished. You know, the teachers actually are very good at this. They have to do it every single day. So why wouldn't those skills transfer over into that meeting room? Well, they would, but they just don't ask them, Jeff, and I don't get that. I don't get it at all. I would be offended. If I were a teacher, it would be really, really hard. Can you imagine with my temperament, me being a teacher?
No.
That was simple. No. Absolutely not.
It makes complete sense. And remember when we had Susan Spencer on last week and she was the, you know, the first woman GM in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Talking about the labor agreements, and she's actually owned many businesses. And the first thing she does, I think it's completely it's what smart people do. You know, it's the path of success. The first thing she does is get down and dirty and learn from the ground up what people have to do, learn their problems so that she can relate. And it's not one of those situations where you're at the top and you just say, hey, this is how things are going to go, and they don't understand how it really goes on the floor. You know, same with this is what you're saying. You know, you can't have administrators saying, well, this is how our school is going to be run, and the teacher's input doesn't matter at all.
Well, you know, it kind of reminds me, and I've only seen this show twice, but both times I saw it, I liked it, and I'd like to see it more, is The Undercover Boss. Have you ever seen that show?
Yeah.
I've only seen it twice, and last time was last week. It's about this guy that owns a chain of bowling alleys called Lucky Strike, and he had no clue. He had no clue how his business was run. I mean, he knew how the business side of it was run. He had no idea the practical side of it, the actual nuts and bolts day to day. And that's the other problem. I've talked about this on the show, Jeff. Superintendents, by and large, don't come from teaching ranks anymore. You know, they are specialists. They get degrees in doing that administrative job. And I think if you've never, maybe I'm just a traditionalist and a little old-fashioned this way, but I don't think you should be a superintendent of a school if you've never taught in a classroom.
No, exactly. And you're right. That show does sometimes it's hilarious because the boss ends up being fired by his own workers because he can't cut it. He doesn't know how to exactly do it. And he's better at just sitting in a suit in a chair. But one thing before we wrap up the Jalen Rose thing, which I thought was kind of interesting, is did you see the talking points about how it's going to be related to UDM, University of Detroit Mercy,
yeah,
is going to have a hand in this? And they're also, you know, going to...
Well, all charters have to, by state law, by state charter, actually, partner with a school, a higher education, a college of some kind.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, they have to do that. That's why the Eastern Michigan DPS thing, and I'm going to get to that in the next hour, because the people at Eastern Michigan don't like this deal that they put together. But we'll get to that. Let's take a break here. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, The Best Of, The First Shift with Tony Trupiano Show right here on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hi, I'm David Ricklick, President of Investment Solutions, and I welcome you to Your Money Matters, a live and interactive radio show every Sunday morning at 8:30 on 1310 WDTW. Are you worried your financial portfolio is not well diversified? Are you concerned your assets are not properly allocated given the uncertain economic conditions? It is these and other topics that Your Money Matters with Dave and Aaron will discuss. Tune in to learn more with Your Money Matters every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m.
So Dave and I are here to help and give the latest trends and discuss the economic situation that affects you. See how our family can help your family and listen every Sunday morning at 8:30 live on 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk Station.
The information presented is designed to provide general information on the subjects covered. Please note that Investment Solutions and their representatives do not give legal or tax advice. Securities offered through Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment Solutions is independent of QCC.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Kids don't come with instruction manuals. I'm Stacy Bachman, and I'd like to invite you to join my husband, Steve, and I here on 1310 WDTW Saturdays at 9 a.m., where on a weekly basis we'll bring you interviews with national and international experts, along with the best tips and techniques and newest information to help you and your child overcome the challenges and hurdles that you're facing so they can reach their highest potential. It's not an instruction manual, just parents helping parents. The My Great Kid Radio Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on 1310 WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blending. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. And participate in McDonald's.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
We're down to the last guest on this Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on a beautiful 4th of July weekend. I'm glad you chose to spend part of your morning with us, and we enjoy you, the listeners, the callers, the emailers, a lot as well. We may have our differences and disagreements, but we have to stick together. We can all make a difference if we stand together, if we get up and stand up, which is the name of the book by our next guest, Bruce Levine. Here's the conversation Tony and Bruce had last week.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, how many times have you heard me say it? How many times have these words come out of my mouth? It's not enough to show up anymore. It's time to stand up, right? You've heard me say it over and over again at every rally I speak at every Democratic club you invite me to. I say the same thing. It is time to stand up. But what does that mean? I have found, by the way, the manual, the field manual for the First Shift radio show. It is in the form of the book I have in my hand right now and my next guest. I'm happy to tell you that this will be the first of two interviews, because just one interview with Bruce Levine wouldn't have been enough. Bruce Levine joins us now. He is a writer and speaks widely on society, culture, politics, and psychology, and where psychology intersect. He is the author of three books, including Surviving America's Depression Epidemic and Common Sense Rebellion. His latest book is the one that I am here to share with you today. It is entitled Get Up, Stand Up, Uniting Populists, Energizing the Defeated, and battling the corporate elite. Bruce Levine joins us from Cincinnati this morning. Thank you for writing the field manual for First Shift. Bruce, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Good to be on your show, Tony.
Well, you know, here, I'll just, again, throw the statement out. It's not enough to show up. Now you've got to stand up. It sounds like the right thing to say, and I guess I'm using it still because it seems to resonate with people. I think we need to define a little bit further what that means. What I hope we accomplish over the next two visits together, Bruce Levine, is an opportunity for people to begin to understand the reality of where they're at, why they may feel the way they feel, and then by extension, getting them up off the couch and getting them engaged. Bruce, do you think you can help me with that task a little bit?
Sure. That was the goal of the book.
Well, I appreciate that. By the way, my producer and I are both in love with this book, and I'm going to make a pledge today. In fact, I'm going to do this when we get a hold of Gail later on. I want to buy 20 copies of this book. I want to give it to 20 of my audience members. And I want people to begin to understand the reality of what it means to get up and stand up. With that said, Bruce Levine, obviously there are a lot of disenfranchised folks in this world. Is there a particular reason why we're just doing more complaining and less action?
Yeah, I think what happens to a lot of people, and people around the world know this, a little bit more than the Americans, who are still kind of, a lot of us are in denial, think that we still live in a democracy. A democracy means that you have real power over your life. And most Americans at some level know that this government can just invade and occupy another country without the majority of Americans even understanding why. They can just bail out these two big to fail corporations and, you know, Wall Street scoundrels, and most Americans oppose it, but it still goes on. And so increasingly we become like a kind of banana republic psychologically, whereas people really feel completely powerless to stop things that they don't want to have. And so what happens is that just psychologically at some point, when you move into this kind of state of where there's so much external kind of oppression that you can't really change, you move into a kind of internal oppression, a kind of defeatism, a kind of fatalism, or what Bob Marley, sort of the poet laureate of oppressed people around the world, has called mental slavery. And so he sang a lot about how to emancipate ourselves from this mental slavery.
Well, you know, in the book, you start off with some information by historians Lawrence Goodwin, and you're right. Goodwin concludes that the democratic movements are initiated by people who are not resigned to the status quo or intimidated by established powers, and who have not allowed themselves to be, quote, culturally organized to conform to established hierarchical forms, unquote. Now, that is brilliant. I mean, that's truly brilliant, and it really is the basis. You know, I've only been on the air 8 weeks after a 5-year absence from the airwaves. You know, when this opportunity came about, and what, for me, it wasn't about doing a radio show. It was about starting a movement. Am I on the right track?
Yeah. I mean, the interesting, what Goodwin did was spent the whole life. He was a journalist first and then moved into being a historian, and he spent a lot of his career studying democratic movements, and so he was interesting for me. He was interesting for me for a couple of levels. One was to just look at the sort of strategies and tactics that people have utilized in democratic movements, so I go a lot into that and get up, stand up. I mean, there's three important areas. One is just understanding how you're being oppressed and exploited, and I think a lot of Americans get that far more than a lot of pundits think. The second is understanding the strategies and tactics that you need to utilize to take back power, which we've lost. We've forgotten some of those, so I talk a lot about that in Get Up, Stand Up. But the third piece is the biggest piece that we're completely ignoring, and that's the major reason why I wrote Get Up, Stand Up, was understanding the psychological and cultural building blocks for democratic movements. And what was interesting for me with Goodwin, reading him, is I've been a psychologist for over 25 years, is that the same kind of building blocks that are necessary for individuals to recover from their own periods of deep malaise and deep emotional difficulties are the same ingredients that are necessary for democratic movements to build. And these are having and recovering individual self-respect and recovering a sense of a collective self-confidence that one could win. And along with these along with these, it means recovering one's determination, one's courage, one's guts, old-fashioned virtues that aren't really talked enough about in school today, and recovering solidarity. I mean, that is huge. There's no democratic movement that succeeds without all those things: risk, guts, intelligent risk, solidarity, self-respect restored. All these things are big variables, and so I spend a lot of time thinking about how those things have been lost. And I go through 12 major areas and get up, stand up, but also how we recover. That's the most important thing I care about.
Right, and we're going to get into this as much as we possibly can. Again, my guest is Bruce Levine, author of the book Get Up, Stand Up. It is available in bookstores everywhere. You know, we've actually earlier this week had that caller who finally said what should have been said long ago. There are more of us than there are of them. You talk about being outnumbered, but you also talk about unlearning powerlessness, which is something that you were just referencing. And, you know, maybe that's where at the crux of what we're going on right now is we feel powerless, and we do need to unlearn that. But how long a process is that? Because I don't have a lot of time, Bruce Levine, for this movement.
Well, I mean, there's different levels. I mean, all of us can be doing something. I think that's the most important, one of the most important messages that I want to convey. You don't, I mean, there's a lot of people who feel like, well, you know, I'm not, you know, Bruce Levine, I'm not an author here, I don't get on the radio, I'm not Tony, you know, with a radio show. What the heck can I do? That's a common experience that a lot of people have. And I think one of the things that I want to convey is that since we've been broken on so many different levels of our society, there's so many different levels that we can recover our feelings of having some power, which are necessary for real democracy. And so one of the areas that I focus in on is just how young people have been broken. That's sort of the scariest thing, and one of the scariest things in America, because if you take a look at the history of democratic movements, or even, you know, contemporary democratic movements, say in Egypt, it's young people out there who are in the forefront because, you know, they don't have family responsibilities, and it should be easier for them to take the risks to get out there. And in America, we have, through a lot of different ways, broken the spirit of resistance against oppression in young people. And so the good news is that there's many different ways that once you understand how young people's spirit of resistance has been broken, all of us have been a part of that, and all of us can do something to transform that.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, going back to the work, Get Up, Stand Up, you write, pain is reduced by a platform in which one's voice can be heard by others. Pain is increased when one feels completely voiceless, impotent, and powerless. Obviously, this is an opportunity. This show is an opportunity for every people. I'd say to you all the time, we all own this show. It's not my show. It's our show. So we've got an opportunity here, and we need to make sure that we take advantage of that. You know, and so with that said, and again, as you go on throughout this book, it seems to me very clear, if people are trying to understand the base at why they may be a little bit paralyzed, there is a psychological reason to this, and the good news is we can address it and move on from it.
Yeah. I mean, so for example, in many different areas of life, we'll just take stick with this area of young people. What's happening to them in their schools today? Well, that's an area that we can do a lot about. I mean, historically, a lot of anti-authoritarian critics of American schooling, this goes way back to Henry David Thoreau to Mark Twain to, by the way, across the board politically, from left anti-authoritarians, people like Alfie Cohn, to libertarian anti-authoritarians, have all understood that a big problem of standard schools in America has been that despite what information they're conveying, the big message that they teach is for people to just obey things that are really don't make any sense, and that's not been taught in these places is critical thinking and curiosity. And too many Americans out there think about their years in school as a place where they lost interest in reading and lost interest in thinking about things rather than got excited about it. And this has gotten much worse with these Democrat, Republican, bipartisan No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top, which is now going to create public schools that are totally fear-based with this testing and this fear-based thing has to do with if administrators are terrified if kids don't pass these standardized tests, which, by the way, have nothing to do with having people think more critically and challenge authority and all that kind of thing, challenge illegitimate authority. And so there's fear in administrators, teachers have fear, parents have fear, and if you have a fear-based educational system, you're not going to be able to think critically. You're not going to be able to learn the fundamentals of democracy, which is to decide which authorities in your life are legitimate or not legitimate, and to question, resist, and challenge. And without that, you're not going to have democracy. And there's a lot of things that we can do about that. Teachers, counselors, parents, all of us can do something about that.
All right, we need to take a quick break here. Bruce Levine with us. Get Up, Stand Up is the book. Now do you see why we were so excited? Now do you see why we've been referencing this book for a couple of weeks? It all makes sense. Let's take the break. We'll be back on First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, The Best Of, The First Shift with Tony Truppiano Show right here on 1310 WDTW.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Truppiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 on 1310 WDTW.
Kids don't come with instruction manuals. I'm Stacey Bachman, and I'd like to invite you to join my husband, Steve, and I here on 1310 WDTW Saturdays at 9 a.m., where on a weekly basis we'll bring you interviews with national and international experts, along with the best tips and techniques and newest information to help you and your child overcome the challenges and hurdles that you're facing so they can reach their highest potential. It's not an instruction manual, just parents helping parents. The My Great Kid Radio Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on 1310 WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blended. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. Participate in McDonald's.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hi, I'm David Ricklick, President of Investment Solutions, and I welcome you to Your Money Matters, a live and interactive radio show every Sunday morning at 8:30 on 1310 WDTW. Are you worried your financial portfolio is not well diversified? Are you concerned your assets are not properly allocated given the uncertain economic conditions? It is these and other topics that Your Money Matters with Dave and Aaron will discuss. Tune in to learn more with Your Money Matters every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m.
So Dave and I are here to help and give the latest trends and discuss the economic situation that affects you. See how our family can help your family and listen every Sunday morning at 8:30 live on 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk Station.
The information presented is designed to provide general information on the subjects covered. Please note that Investment Solutions and their representatives do not give legal or tax advice. Securities offered through Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment Solutions is independent of QCC.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steak smells delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a special 4th of July edition, The Best Of, The First Shift with Tony Trupiano Show right here on 1310WDTW.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Again, my guest, Bruce Levine. He is author of the book, Get Up, Stand Up, really the field manual for this program. It is what we will refer to from this point forward. And I assure you, this will become the Bible, my Bible. This is one of those books that I plan to read repeatedly. And I'm glad that Bruce Levine is here with us. You know, Bruce, does the media have, you know, do they have some responsibility in dragging down the American people? You know, just yesterday in Greece, as you know, a major protest, hundreds of thousands of people show up. We celebrate when we get, you know, 300 people at a rally. It seems to me that there's this disconnect with what's happening globally to what's happening locally. Does the media share some responsibility in that?
Sure. I mean, there's definitely the problem of the corporate media not exposing the American people to what's going on in the rest of the world in terms of people actually. A lot of the world, they're taking much more seriously democracy than Americans are here, and so it's always important for those running the show, the corporate elite, what I call the corporatocracy, that it's always important for them that the courage doesn't become contagious because of, you know, they saw what happened in the Middle East and that part of the world. Once certain people start to kind of think it's legitimate for them to actually fight for their rights and not get pushed around, that kind of thing is contagious. So that's always a kind of great fear for the corporate elite, that people just start to make connections here of what's going on around the rest of the world in America, and people in America start thinking like, well, you know, why can't we be doing the same thing, not putting up with this stuff, doing things like general strikes, which is, you know, you just haven't seen in America, certainly in recent history. And that's really the way that business gets, that's how you get their attention, when they start losing money. I mean, they don't really care that much about all kinds of things that people do to protest, including, you know, hundreds of thousands of people just demonstrating against the government. As long as they're not losing money, they don't care that much. But in general strikes, they do.
Now, you know, it goes back to something I say all the time on this show, folks. Three words, what are they? Follow the money. Let me just take an issue, Bruce Levine, and then we're going to try to get in everything we can before we got to let you go at the top of the hour. Labor unions are a very important part of the Southeast, the state of Michigan and Southeast Michigan for sure. Yet Republicans especially have decided to co-opt this issue and really have attacked collective bargaining. This should be a rallying call for union members. In fact, my most recent blog post was asking people in unions to get closer to the unions, to re-engage. We do need to get folks in unions to re-engage. I believe that it's organized labor that's going to finally move us beyond where we're at right now. You know, why do you think the Republicans have decided that they're going to pick on organized labor of all the crazy things?
I think one of the really great hopeful things that I point out in Get Up Stand Up is that the elite are arrogant and they're often stupid. I mean, and that they make these kind of mistakes of arrogance where they've already crushed the unions in many ways in America here. We've got it from, you know, a generation ago, 35% of people in America were part of a labor unions, and now it's 12%, and the private sector is down to 6%. 7%. And so they've already kind of crushed unions. They already got folks, these folks in Wisconsin, to agree to take these major cuts in Hamilton. Well, they had to increase their contributions to pension funds and in their health care benefits, and that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted to completely break their ability to collectively bargain, and they went too far. I mean, and that's what happens when you're arrogant. And often, if you take a look at history of democratic movements, when people who are in control, they lose touch with what the line is, where they've gone too far, and they revitalize movements. And hopefully, that's exactly what's happening to the American union movement, where there's lots of reasons I go through in Get Up, Stand Up, how that's been crushed. And a lot of it has to do with the corporate elite, but a lot of it, unfortunately, is union movement themselves had gotten too tame, had gotten too conservative. And we saw in the 1970s, I come from a union family, so I'm aware of the what happened even then when union leadership was getting too tame, and workers themselves had to move into wildcat strikes. My father was part of the wildcat strike of postal workers in 1970. There were Teamster wildcat strikes then. You know, basically workers having to even revolt against their own leadership. Why? Because their leadership had been kind of sort of like been playing the game of management too much. And so what hopefully will happen here, this is the dream of working, of I think working people all care about real democracy out there, is that in this kind of backlash against their attempt to destroy collective bargaining, guys like in my state, Kasich is trying to do it, the Ohio governor and Walker in Wisconsin, all these New Jersey governor, that not only will we recover collective bargaining, we'll now start our own counterattack where we're wanting even more rights. It's like, and that's often what's happened in American history. Now we start to say, you know, it's not good enough. We have to start getting people back on. We have to do what people in Germany do. By the way, a lot of Americans don't realize that. In Germany, union members occupy half of the members on board of directors. They get control there. That's why their economy is a heck of a lot better than America. You've got union involvement at the very top on corporate boards, and that's what we've got to fight for. And eventually have worker control over factories, have worker co-ops, and that was the initial goal of unions here, and we backslided, and eventually we've got weaker and weaker.
Well, and again, that can all be turned around, and as we learn in Get Up, Stand Up, Bruce Levine's book, there is a process that I'm going to share with this audience. That's why we decided to do this in two parts, and two parts isn't going to be close enough. Folks, I'm on page 42 of a book. I mean, we're 30 minutes, almost 30 minutes into an interview, and I'm on page 42 of this book. It is this critical. Get Up, Stand Up may be the most important book written for our generation. And I mean that sincerely. If you truly care, if you are passionate about your future, if you desire change, if you believe in this movement that I talk to you about on an everyday basis, this book is a must-read for you. Very quickly, demoralized, disorganized, broken, or what? What's going on, Bruce Levine?
Well, I think that was one of the my original article that I wrote, Are Americans Broken People? I was very curious about what other Americans would view our political passivity, which, you know, it's pretty sad when you take a look at our reaction to these senseless wars and corporate bailout, how few Americans are really active. And so there's, of course, the people at the elite will always view passivity as that people are happy, they're satisfied with their lot. And of course, the opinion polls and common sense show that's ridiculous. People are not happy with their lot. So the other explanations are that people are ignorant. They're stupid. They just don't know what's going on out there. And I reject that completely. Again, the polls show that people know enough. Maybe all of us can't know everything, all the different ways we're getting exploited and ripped off out there. We can't know all these industrial complexes. But we know enough to know that that we should be spending our money at home rather than helping prop up some dictators in Afghanistan and all this kind of stuff. People know enough on a lot of these things, and so ignorance is not the answer. And I think once people understand that, they stop dividing themselves, they stop having contempt for their fellow Americans, which bothers me, which worries me, that people see our inactivity and we just get disgusted with one another. It's the reality is that what happens is when we eat any human being on an individual basis, whether it's spousal abuse or it's a parental abuse.
Yeah, and Bruce, I hate to interrupt you. We are just out of time, which is why I'm glad we're doing a part two. Thank you so much. We will get you back. We'll be in touch. We'll have you next week. Folks, we are out of time for today. This is First Shift. Get Up, Stand Up is the book. Much more to come tomorrow. Be well.
can certainly fly by. Look for more with Bruce on Wednesday at 8:30 as we have him back to talk about the great book, Get Up, Stand Up. Remember to punch in again tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. to 9 as we're back at it again. We really appreciate everyone who listens to the show, and we do this for you. I'm Jeff Radford, and for the entire First Shift crew, we hope you have a happy and safe 4th of July. Thanks, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
When my family found out I was on drugs, they were devastated.
It was killing them, you know, it was killing them. It
tears your family up more than it does you.
You want to stop, you know, in your heart you need to stop.
My mom was just a nervous wreck. I could just see her getting older way too fast.
My oldest brother banned me from the house. You're a drug addict, I don't want you around my kids.
I just couldn't help it. I couldn't get a grip on it. I couldn't even stay clean to get my son back.
It doesn't matter if it's Monday at 10 in the morning or if it's Sunday at 2 in the morning. You got to go get drugs or money, one or the other.
You pray to God, please help me quit this, stop this.
My dad was frantic, and he looked at me and he said, we're not going to gamble with your life.
I wanted to have my family back, and that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.